Steve, thanks so much. Hi, everybody, and welcome to our show. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. I'd say this every day, but I assume everybody knows by now. If you want to be a part of it, 312-981-7200.
You're so pleasant.
Just want people to know that you and I shouldn't have to do all the heavy lifting. Somebody else could come to the rescue every now and then.
All right, I like that about you.
A quick hello and welcome back to our friend Kevin Richter. Kevin, of course, the producer of the show. He was out on Friday. He was out on Monday on a little mini vacation.
Now, this wasn't your Magic the Gathering
No.
Okay, this was a couple thing?
Yeah, it was a couples thing, but some of the male accessories
You didn't have to say male, we knew.
And don't say accessories.
But there was no Magic the Gathering because Sarah wouldn't...
No, but there was some, I guess you could call it indie board gaming where it's not your run-of-the-mill Monopoly or anything like that, different games. Yeah.
The girls played too?
Yeah, we played one called Saboteur. It was pretty fun.
What goes on in that game? What's Saboteur?
Long story short, you have to you find out at the beginning of the round if you're a saboteur, and you sabotage. I'm not even going to get into it. That's going to sound real nerdy.
No!
Did you do it in the hot tub at least?
No, because it's paper.
Oh, yeah, that wouldn't work.
Nah, you can't do that.
Waterproof the board.
Kevin found himself the enemy of the people. They rented a house. I'll let Kevin tell the story, but he was telling me how he and his friends became the enemy of the entire town.
Really? Because I saw a Facebook post saying that there are friendly people around there.
Yeah, that was sarcasm.
Oh.
Yeah,
you have to use a more sarcastic font.
You do. There should be just a sarcasm font.
There should be.
Ariel, no, sarcasm.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. Should I even say the town name?
I don't know.
Don't say the town name. It's in central Michigan.
Yeah, but typically when we do these trips, and you know, there's a good 12 to 14 of us, and we get a nice secluded property that's a really beautiful. This time, it was a beautiful property, like a 7-bedroom house, but it was in the middle of a neighborhood. So we get there, and there's all these signs in these windows that say, neighbors against blank hotel, blank being the address of this place. And we're thinking, wow, like, that's not very welcoming. And then anytime, like, somebody would walk by, I even went out of my way just to be extra friendly to these people. I would wave hello. They would either scowl or, like, look away real quick. It was really bizarre.
So it's a hotel?
No, it's actually a house.
They just rent it out in the middle of a residential area, and the neighbors are not too pleased with that because it's... You know, it's transient people every week that they... I mean, Kevin and his friends, I'm sure, were polite to everybody. But every week, think about it, you got a house with new people you don't know.
Yeah, I know that town, and that's one of those towns that lives off of tourism.
Yes, you're right.
So they should be hugging people.
And it's not Kevin's fault.
Right. And even like when we were in town, like away from the house, they didn't know what house we were staying in. The people, we went to a certain restaurant and did not feel very welcomed.
I can understand, you know, if there was somebody renting out a house on our block, it would be different.
It would be.
But you can't get mad at the people
renting it. Right, it's not
renting
their fault. But Kevin and his friends were treated like the vampire kids in Twilight everywhere they went.
We had an older gentleman. The worst thing we did, and, you know, I'm sure they're looking for reasons to complain to us. We got a doorbell rung on us, and we go out, and we were blocking a sidewalk with one of our cars. So...
Oh, where you're half in the driveway. And
yeah, well,
you should know better.
I know. I mean, there was probably 5 to 6 cars in the driveway, but so we just had to scoot forward a little bit.
Well, was the guy riding his tricycle down the sidewalk? Or
no, he was walking.
Right, is that it?
He was just walking, so he took more time to come in and, you know, ring the doorbell to complain to us than it would have been to just walk around it.
You ever do that? You ever knock on someone's door because...
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Now, Kevin, keep in mind, I'm on your side. It was not your fault. You just rented a house. You and some friends rented a house. But how many people were in your group?
I think there was 14 of us.
14. So imagine if the house next door to you or across the street from you, every week there's new people there, you know, because they're renters.
I like to meet new people.
I know you, well.
If they're not messing up my yard, if they're not, you know, having loud music till 5 in the morning, what do I care what goes on in somebody else's house?
Well, I think that's what it stems from because this is it's a lakefront property. It's beautiful. It's brand new. There's a pool in the backyard. So come summertime, there was probably some rowdy parties going on.
I bet. Yeah.
But again, not your fault.
Right. So, but with one moment in particular, we were watching the sunset. There was a little like back deck that was elevated and this car starts driving by and just pretty much stops and it's just staring at us. And so we wave and they just scowl and then you slowly pull away. I was like, wow, this is insane.
Remember like when we were young, there were made for TV movies that were like this, usually with Robert Culp. I don't know why, but he was almost always in them. about some guy who's just renting a house. He just wants to have a vacation with his family, but the townspeople don't like it. And Robert Culp and Hope Lang, usually, not always, but usually,
yeah,
they don't know what to do.
Now, Kevin, are you sure you weren't living a live-action game of Saboteur?
I don't think so.
Impossible.
Yeah. The Saboteur has not revealed himself yet, then.
I feel really bad for you, because I'm sure you paid a lot of money to have a nice little weekend getaway.
Yeah, it didn't ruin the trip. We still had a great time. The house was beautiful, like brand new, pristine.
But you would never, like, would you ever go through that again, knowing that everyone around you is angry at you just for being there?
I will say, I think the trip would have been improved if it was more secluded. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. The house was great.
So only the woodland animals are mad at you.
Yeah.
Not the neighbors. Look at the way that squirrel keeps grimacing at me. What's going on with that?
And we didn't know either, by the way. We didn't know going into it that we would be in the middle of a neighborhood. We thought we would be a little secluded.
So. How did you figure? Oh, you figured out they didn't like you because of the signs in the
right,
window.
Yeah, the welcome signs.
Yeah, the unwelcome signs.
And Bill, you need to make an apology, because a lot of times you say something and I get blamed for it. I really dislike that Wendy acts like women never play board games.
Women always play board games.
Open up your mind,
Come
Wendy.
On. It's 2017.
I asked if any girls played Magic the Gathering.
Of course they do.
That I don't believe they do.
There's probably a couple.
There's a few.
In the grand scheme.
Yeah.
You want to meet them?
I love it, though. You say things and I get in trouble
That's
for it.
That's the way it should be.
No, it is not
I
the
like
way
that
it should
policy.
Be. I'm going to put up a sign when you walk into the studio.
That's fine.
But all in all, you had a great weekend, didn't you?
Yeah.
You had great weather.
Oh, it was beautiful. A little bit cooler up there, but it was still pretty pleasant.
The neighbors blame you.
The coolest thing about this house is it came with little cruiser bikes, like 12 of them that you could take out and ride to the pier. It was awesome.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, it was pretty neat.
Wow.
That's to make up for the townspeople who hate you.
Oh, maybe you had to use those to run away from them. Maybe that's true.
All right, let's take a quick break. And then Wendy will say more controversial things to anger you. Not me, it's you, Wendy. It's WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Our friend, our producer, Kevin, back from a little mini vacation to Michigan, where they stayed in a town that was mean to him. They didn't want him renting. And so many people have texted just kind of guessing which town in Michigan. Some of you are right, some of you are not. I don't think we want to say, we don't want to besmirch the town of the in Michigan.
No.
They're nice people.
It's a beautiful town, too.
Yeah.
Somebody says, funny farm movie with Chevy Chase, the whole town was against the newbies. I don't remember that movie. I don't know if I saw it even.
Not sure I saw it either.
And apologies, Wendy, but my wife does play Magic the Gathering. So Kevin will hook you up.
Oh, yeah, I know her.
All right, Jane, you are familiar with treatment like this, aren't you?
I am. For 5 years, we rented a home up in the southwest corner of Michigan. And every year for about 2 weeks, around 4th of July, and it said on the brochure, you know, it could sleep 14, up to 14. Well, if you do the math, that's at least 7 cars.
Sure.
Unless people are all coming together in one giant bus. And it's in a little neighborhood. And after the 5th year, we were asked not to come back because there was too many cars in the driveway. And they have a pool. And so we were also told that we were too loud, which I really didn't see because most of the time during the day we were gone. And in the evening, it was too chilly to swim. So I was really disappointed after 5 years of spending a lot of money to rent a home, and we took care of it. We didn't trash it or anything. And then to find out that, you know, oh, we had too many cars in the driveway. Well, then don't advertise that you sleep 14.
That's true. And I mean, I get where the full-time residents get this feeling, but they also chose to live there too, and it's kind of like a mini resort town.
But when they chose to live there, there probably wasn't a neighbor who decided it'd be more profitable to rent their house out every week, right?
I guess.
Wherever you live, like if one of your neighbors started doing that, you wouldn't know that in advance, right?
I guess. We don't have a pool though.
Oh.
No, and the thing is we would talk, we got to know the neighbors because we were there every year for so, you know, 2 weeks. And they seemed nice enough and never said anything. But I would think if, you know, it was that much of a problem, somebody would have come over and said, hey, can you keep it down
right.
or something.
Were you that loud, Jane?
No, we really weren't. We weren't rowdy. In fact, like I say, during the day, we weren't even there. We were over doing activities, the reason why we were there. So,
who asked you not to come back? The people that owned the house, or the neighborhood had called a meeting, an emergency meeting, to evict you?
That resident.
The residents.
Practically the residents. So I was bummed. But there's plenty of other places we can go, and that house that Kevin rented sounds amazing.
House that Kevin built.
Maybe we'll have to check that out.
All right. Well, thank you, Jane.
Thanks,
we
Jane.
Like you.
Thank you. Love your show.
Thank you. She can be as loud as she wants.
She does seem rowdy.
She does. She had that rowdy laugh.
Yeah,
I get where you're coming
laugh,
from. I know.
That being
so, Elizabeth, here's the other side of it, and go ahead, because I do understand you live there full time. It is weird if all of a sudden these party people come.
Right. And I don't live in St. Joseph, but I live near there. And I'll tell you what, if any of the local residents want to do anything, they almost can't. There's no parking. Every restaurant is full. And, yes, this is a tourist town. We did ask them to come here. So put the blame where it belongs, on the city council, for not placing in place rules how many people can be in a rental. And I'll tell you what, we have a saying up here. You may have heard it. We call them FIP.
Yes.
Illinois people.
Yes.
Some of y'all are so obnoxious. Well, why don't you have this? Why don't you have that? Well, then why don't you go back to Illinois? Because this is a very small town. We don't do that.
Right, right.
I'm not blaming, you know, there's plenty of blame on both sides. But the blame really belongs on the city council, who allows people to rent whatever they want, wherever they want.
There should be, like, a specific area. I know you can't really do that, I guess.
Yeah, no, you really can't. And most of these people in St. Joe, well, I can't say that. I was going to say most of them have lived there their whole lives, but that may not be true.
But a decent percentage of them have. There's quite a few who have.
But you can always tell when you go along the beach, the great big McMansions.
Yeah.
They're Chicago people.
Yeah, sure.
And the little tiny house that has to pay the taxes for the big honking mansions, those are the people who've lived there their whole lives.
Yeah.
And again, it's the people who control who can build where and what and when.
Glad you're not bitter at all, Elizabeth. We really are.
I sound bitter?
No, I'm kidding.
I totally get it.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair,
even a little town like Coloma, and it's a little town, I don't know, like 2,000 people maybe, in the summertime, you cannot go near that lake.
Because there's water nearby. Everybody wants to be near the water. So
right.
Elizabeth, right. Kevin wants to defend himself.
Well, I was going to say, to be fair, we kind of went...
We went
in an off-season, you know.
Sure.
So we weren't taking over the entire town or anything like that.
Right.
And Kevin's very polite.
And you know what? He was misled, I think, because they said, you're welcome. They're running a business, and it's their neighbors that had the problem. And if they got a problem, they need to talk to the city council, not him. He didn't do a thing wrong.
I imagine there's been quite a battle over this. I mean, Kevin was just kind of a pawn in all this, but you know that this has been going on for a while, right?
Yes,
if everyone had signs in their windows,
that's a
condemning.
Welcome. Well, thank you, Elizabeth.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
What does the T stand for? Can you say it on the air?
It's FIBS.
Oh, I know what that is.
Yeah. Friendly Illinois Buddies.
Yeah.
Kind of.
That's the ticket.
I got the Illinois part right. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then there's a lot more show. Steve has news for you, and then plenty of topics. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks. In about 15 minutes, Bridget Carey from CNET will join us and keep us up to date on what's going on in the world of technology. But first, just a callback to something that happened yesterday. We played for you some tape of David Cassidy, Keith Partridge from the Partridge Family, as he was performing, doing a show in what he had said was his farewell tour. He was in a town in California doing a show, and we played some audio for you. And both you and I said, it's time to be concerned about David Cassidy. If you weren't already, it's time to be concerned about him. He doesn't sound quite right. He was singing songs that were kind of off key. He was
slurring big time.
He was slurring.
Falling off the stage.
There's one time where you couldn't hear this, but you could see it on the video. He takes the microphone out of the stand and hits himself in the head with it.
People do that when they're live on stage. Look at this. Is this on?
I guess.
I'm kidding.
He It was a mess. You could hear people in the audience saying, oh, no, and stuff like this all through the show.
That's bad when the audience groans.
There was a lot of that. There was a lot of that. And then people who were at the show were tweeting things about...
he needs help.
Yeah, we don't know what to do to help him, but this is not going in the right direction. Well, yesterday he addressed what exactly is going on with him, and he revealed that he is battling dementia.
How old is he, Bill?
66.
Okay, first of all, it blows my mind that Keith Partridge is 66.
Yeah, I know. I know.
And
in my head, he's 23.
I know.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's really sad. However, the dementia is not what it appeared was happening, but perhaps that's why he may have fallen off the wagon. He did go through rehab.
I have to ask this, and I sincerely ask this as a question because I don't know the answer to this. If you have the signs of dementia, and he has talked about his battles with alcohol over the years, this accelerates it, I'm guessing, doesn't it? Doesn't alcohol somehow accelerate dementia, signs of dementia?
I don't know that.
I don't know.
I know alcohol affects your brain, but I don't know to what extent. I don't know if it causes dementia after years of alcohol abuse.
Well, he talks about how this is something, dementia, that has been running through his lineage for years. But I also know that there's been alcoholism in his family for years. He's talked about his father, who, for those of you who don't know, is an actor named Jack Cassidy. Used to do a lot of television work over the years.
Didn't he sing The Love Boat?
No, that's Jack Jones. They look very similar.
So that was his stepfather then?
No, Jack Cassidy is his regular father. His stepfather would have been Marty Ingalls.
Yes.
He married, although not really, because Shirley Jones isn't his natural mother.
No,
that's his stepmother.
Sean and David share the same dad, different mothers.
Right. And there's a third brother named Patrick.
Where's he been?
He's laid very low. He was an actor for a very short amount of time. And actually, probably the best looking and most talented of the three, but he just kind of fizzled out quickly. He didn't get anywhere near the notoriety that David did or Sean did.
All right, I am on some CareFect home services, care services. They said, now here's the weird conflicting report. Alcohol consumption in moderation can help slow or prevent the progression of dementia and Alzheimer's disease. However, several studies have shown that alcohol can have a direct effect. One drink a day can slow the development of dementia by as much as 85%.
I had no idea that could be the
case. That means that those who drink at least one drink a day will develop dementia at an 85% slower rate than those who do not drink. That's wild.
Yeah, it is.
Even though moderate drinking can be good for your brain, it's important to understand what moderation means. Well, perhaps that's why he drinks.
Possibly. I don't know. Possibly. David Cassidy, as we mentioned, battling dementia, 66-year-old actor, widely known for his starring role as Keith Partridge in the 70s series. The Partridge Family has revealed to People magazine that he is currently fighting the memory loss disease. Cassidy, who watched his grandfather battle the disease and witnessed his mother disappear into dementia until she died at the age of 89, tells People magazine of his diagnosis. He says, "I was in denial, but a part of me always knew that this was coming." I imagine if you see a pattern of it through your family, you have to say to yourself, odds are I'm probably going to suffer from it as well, although there's no definite indication of it. Of his mother's struggles, Cassidy recalls, in the end, the only way that I knew that she recognized me was with one single tear that would drop from her eye every time I walked into the room. I feared that I, too, would end up that way. Now that he's come to terms with his condition, Cassidy has made the decision to stop touring as a musician, to concentrate on his health and his happiness. He says, "I want to focus on what I am, who I am, and how I've been without any distractions. I want to love and I want to enjoy life."
Well, good for him. I mentioned, and this according to various websites, for those who have mild cognitive impairment, it is said that one drink a day can slow the development of dementia by as much as 85%. That's unbelievable. If you are under 65, consuming too much alcohol can cause early onset Alzheimer's disease or early onset dementia. It's most commonly presented as alcohol dementia. So a chronic alcohol use could bring it on quicker. But if you already have a mild impairment, one drink a day can slow the development of dementia by 85%.
Boy, is that tricky.
Isn't that?
Yeah, that's a strange... It's strange because when you see him or like... I know everyone didn't get to see this video that we were discussing yesterday, but your heart just goes out to the guy because you say to yourself, I don't know what's wrong with him. Something's obviously wrong. He's not able to talk properly. He's not able to sing properly. He can't stand up properly. So something's going on. But your thoughts are, has he been drinking too much? Is he on some sort of a drug of some kind? Or could he possibly have some sort of dementia? And it turns out it's a little bit of a couple of them.
Someone says, I don't buy it. He's deflecting.
That thought crossed my mind as well. Didn't it to you a little bit?
Yeah, but regardless of what it is, I wish him well.
Without a doubt. I mean, you hate to see anyone go through this. It's just hard to watch anyone go through this, especially somebody who really, we talked about this yesterday, he owned the world for a little bit. He was so popular.
Again, that's why we have waited to peak.
Yeah.
You don't want to peak too early.
Not too early.
I mean, look at the studies, though, with all the problems with child actors who do peak so early, and then
they can never
recapture
that.
Dana Plato.
Oh yeah.
Todd Bridges.
The list goes on and on and on.
I know.
For a while, do you know who Paul Patterson is?
From the Donna Reed Show.
Yeah.
Are you proud of me?
Yeah. That was well played.
Thank you.
Paul Patterson was on the Donna Reed Show. He also was a singer for a little bit. He had this thing going in Los Angeles where he counseled child actors to help them kind of adjust to the real world once they were no longer a TV star or, you know, a movie star. I don't think he does it anymore, but I always thought that was a very good idea because I don't know how you make that transition.
It's pretty tough. Yeah. I mean, think about it. I think that's a lot of Lindsay Lohan's issues,
too.
Oh,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No question. All right. We'll take a quick break. Oh, along the same lines, I have to tell you, because it's funny that both of these happen in the same day. A few weeks ago, after the Screen Actors Guild Awards, Winona Ryder was discussed by us and by a lot of people because of her erratic behavior. There is now an explanation for that.
Oh, I can't wait. You're going to leave us in suspense?
I have to.
I will not Google. I will wait for
Please
you.
Please do not Google that. We'll discuss that before the show is out. So stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Thanks, Wendy. It's us. It is Bill and Wendy on WGN, along with Bridget Carey, who I always admire. You know that. I admire Bridget Carey all the time, but now more than ever because she just spent the weekend at the place I want to go more than any other place in the world.
Someone's into toys.
The New York Toy Fair. You've been there before, Bridget, or was this your first time?
No, I've been there before. I'm always on the hunt, you know, being a technology reporter looking for the high-tech stuff, and I keep wanting to go to everything, but there's just so much to see.
So what was there? It's at the Javits Center in New York, right? Is that where they do it?
Yeah, that's our main convention center out here. And this year, oh my gosh, I mean, the robots that are coming for your children, let me tell you. I mean,
I know that sounds ominous, but it's a good, please tell us it's a good thing, not a bad thing, right?
Some of it's good. Some of it makes you, you know, kind of take a double take at how realistic they can make dolls. But let's start with one of my favorites. I'm a child of the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to see the return of the Teddy Ruxpin doll. Everyone's favorite Storytime Bear is back. He looks a little different. He doesn't have a massive cassette tape player on his back anymore.
Good move.
But he sounds exactly the same, and his little beak mouth moves. And the difference, the difference, though, is that his eyes are LCD screens. So they're animated, and they're like emoting every moment he's looking. He's doing this. If he's telling a story about love, his eyes turn into hearts. If he's telling a story about flowers, his eyes turn into flowers, and snowflakes fly by. And the stories are exactly the same because the company bought the rights to the original Teddy Ruxpin doll, and they're using the same audio recordings. So here I am, barely remembering my own Teddy Ruxpin,
yeah.
And I'm getting chills and freaking out over things I thought I forgot about, but it was before I was like 5 years old, I remember this thing going, wait, I remember that story and the mudlubs and the, oh my gosh. And now Teddy, that was a lot smaller, he's really cuddly because it's all, you know, digital, and you don't need to have, you know, all this hardware involved. And so they kind of made him easier to sleep with. Inside, he'll have three stories stored in his memory. You could just hit a bob, like his little, almost got my words mixed up. You could hit his hand, his little paw, to like just start a story or pause it. But if you remember, they came with physical books.
Yeah.
The idea was that you would.
I don't remember Teddy Ruxpin at all.
You don't remember
I'm sorry,
this
no.
At all? It was really popular for, in the mid 80s, and then they had to stop making them because a lot of them started eating children. So
small,
the company.
Small downside, stopped. Right?
Yeah, that's a little.
So the point is, you'd
let them get wet, right?
Yeah. Electronics inside you, he would tell you stories like with a cassette player.
Yeah.
That's what, and you'd sleep with him and get bedtime stories.
Yeah.
Kind of like a miniature version of like some Chuck E. Cheese animatronic, you know, like its eyes would move along. You would put the tape cassette in the back. He would read a story. You're reading along a light version of it in a book, and he's telling you about his friends and his adventures, and his eyes are going and his mouth is going every time he talks. And he had a friend, like a caterpillar orange thing called Grubby. Mm-hmm. I had Grubby too, and you had to like put a cord between him and Grubby to have Grubby talk.
Listen to how excited you are.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I was having a moment, okay?
It's awesome.
And Bridget, you could play games. Am I imagining that? But you could play games with him too, couldn't you, for a while?
Well,
like blackjack? We lost all of our family fortune to Teddy Ruxpin's, Wendy.
Aces come up in his eyes.
Yep.
Oh, man. Well, now, instead of a physical book, you can read along on, like, a tablet or a phone, but you don't have to have the tablet or phone there. And they're going to be selling the stories as extra, maybe, like, $5 or so to download. But some people always said Teddy Ruxpin was creepy, but I think it's adorable.
Yeah.
I think it's adorable. And but then there is the creepy level I saw, too. So Spin Master is a very big toy maker, and I'm not sure how I feel about this because I'm the mom of an 8-month-old.
Mm-hmm.
They have a baby doll that has like a fully robotic like face in a sense where like it's moving its head and pursing its lips and going mama and like blinking and its cheeks are going up and down as it sucks, and it's a rubber face, and you can imagine all these moving parts inside to make it look like it's some sort of Disney animatronic figure, and you're going, oh wow, that's a lot happening at once.
Yeah, it is.
But she's coming out this year. She's Lovabella, and she's about $100.
Lovabella?
Yeah, Lovabella.
Wow. That's a stripper name.
<She's>,
it is.
Oh man, you're ruining all this
Sorry.
Magic here. I love it. I love it. Okay,
right.
So she can also recognize what accessory you put to her. So if you're like, because even the little things like the baby bottle or the spoon, they can be sensed by the doll, so it knows when you're putting the spoon to its mouth, and it learns the more you play with it in that same Furby-ish way where she's just baby babble in the beginning, but then the more you feed her, she'll be like apples, and she starts talking. So I always wonder at what age. Can you give a real kid like something that has so many moving parts?
Oh, sure.
But they're like, no. Like it was totally durable for like a 4-year-old, you know. But you know, a lot of these toys now, I feel like everything's a robot. Everything's also listening to your voice commands sometimes, and somehow being interactive in different ways. You know, BB-8 from Star Wars, that little droid.
Yeah.
So they have a bigger one now. It's bigger than a basketball. It kind of goes up to your knees, and you go here, BB-8, and it hears your voice and rolls to you. It's kind of like an RC car in the sense that you have a remote control, but it also listens for when you're saying character names. So if you say, "Where's Ray?" or he'll beep and bloop in happy ways. But if you have stormtroopers are coming, he'll act scared.
Oh.
Or he'll have a sensor. You could set him to like protect your room, and if someone walks by, he'll go crazy. So you're seeing a lot more mixing of like voice commands with all these sensors too. So I find it interesting to kind of blur those worlds a bit.
Just to show you how far we've come, when I was a kid, my cousin Lori had a doll that it had a bottle of milk, and when you tipped the bottle of milk, it looked like the milk was gone.
I had that doll too.
And we would just look at that for hours, like it was the most amazing thing in the world to us.
Yeah, but then you'd find
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. You'd have that same cup in your little magic kit that you got too,
right,
with the blue liquid,
right,
and as you went to flip it over, the
it was
liquid
gone.
Yeah, it was
yeah,
pretty
it's
cool.
Amazing.
But then, like, years later, it gets a little crusty and, like, something's
yes.
Right with that bottle.
Yes. It's true. It's true. So everything you just described, all these robot kids and bears and stuff, those will all be available at some point between now and Christmas, right?
Yeah, all the things are coming out in the fall. I always kind of get a little giddy, you know, when
sure.
I see all these things. But what I have noticed in the past, going through this year by year, before, like maybe 3 years ago, I saw a big push on, hey, look, let's, here, use mom and dad's tablet, use mom and dad's app to make this toy work.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing less of that now, and you're seeing a lot like, well, if you happen to have a tablet, or that's fine, but you don't need it. You don't need it. I think parents have been kind of, you know, annoyed with how many times, you know, they have to hand over their phone or tablet to just play a game or play something. It's more like a side bonus, not a requirement anymore, which I like. And people are also really paranoid about privacy. So every time I found something that could talk or had some sort of issue like that, they're like, no, we're making sure it doesn't go to the cloud. Like Barbie is a hologram now that you can talk to. You put her on your desk and she's in this little box and she's really just projected there. And it's kind of like Alexa or Siri where you're like, hey, Barbie, tell me the weather. Or hey, Barbie, remind me of this. And she's like, no problem, in her little perky way.
Wow.
And remind me of my birthday. And I'm like, okay, so how much data is she storing? And it's all like, oh, no, we're making sure everything's going to be good with that. And
trust me, Bridget, somehow the news comes so much better from Barbie. I don't know why it is, but instead of listening to CNN, we just have Barbie tell us what's going on. It's much more pleasant.
I want to hack Barbie and have her and make her my main news. forget Alexa on the Amazon. I want, because it's also a speaker, I want that to be my main thing in the house. Give me all. Yeah, can you imagine Barbie giving you Trump reports? Yeah,
that'd be great. Weird.
It would be great.
All right, I'm in.
All right, well, cool. Thank you very much. And any other toys that Bill would like that you can think of?
You remember Fisher-Price Power Wheels?
Yes. I mean,
they still exist.
Yeah.
Now they have one for, like, when your kids get a little older and you want something, like, for, like, the 5 to 9-year-old range.
Mm-hmm.
They go 12 miles an hour, and they're smart cars, so you can set, like, you know, boundaries that they can't go past a certain area. So totally safe for you and totally fun, because I totally drove it, and so adults can have fun in these little go-karts.
All right, that would be fun.
That does sound good.
I'm putting that on my Christmas list.
Yeah, I love it. Bridget, thanks so much. Glad you had a good time at the toy show.
Thanks. Thank you. Talk to you later.
Bridget Carey from CNET, everybody. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll get some news from Steve. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I said see, CZ Rider. Oh, see what you have done. I said see, CZ Rider. Oh, see what you have done.
Kevin, can you name that artist?
Elvis Presley.
Yep.
Ding, ding, ding.
Nicely done. Earlier in the show, we told you, we did a little update about David Cassidy, because we had played some audio yesterday that was really very troubling of
it
David
really
Cassidy
was.
Trying to perform in California. So he has said, he just told People Magazine that he has early onset dementia, and that's the reason he was performing so erratically. He had already announced that this tour would be his farewell tour on the West Coast, and now we know why. He said it's just becoming harder and harder to perform. So here's another mystery solved. A couple of weeks ago, they did the Screen Actors Guild Awards, and Winona Ryder, CeCe's sister Winona Ryder, was up on stage accepting a trophy. Her show, Stranger Things, won Best Ensemble Acting. So what that means is everybody in the show shares in this. Of course, that's ensemble. And while David Harbour was speaking, he's one of the actors on the show, Winona Ryder stood next to him and just continuously made very peculiar faces.
I have to tell you, at first I thought she was just looking at him like in disbelief that they won, because they were up against some pretty other great shows, which
no doubt
I can't
about
remember.
It.
So at first it was just kind of like, oh my God, can you believe this? But then it kept going and at various weird spots.
Mm-hmm.
And I had so much pleasure watching the internet that somebody put Curb Your... The pizza was funny. Curb Your Enthusiasm music while she was looking around.
Yeah.
I had great pleasure looking at all those memes.
Without a doubt, it's both... It's funny and it's troubling at the same time, because much like David Cassidy, you say to yourself, what's going on with her? Is everything all right at the house with you, Winona Ryder? She also has a little bit of an erratic history. So for the last couple of weeks, people have speculated what was going on with her that night. Well, now we know.
I can't wait. You were good with this tease, Bill.
David Harbour, the actor in question, the one who was making the speech, he was making a speech about not just about acting, but about what's going on in the country politically and how actors really need to step it up and be used as sort of a device, a tool to get the truth out about what's happening.
It was a little long. It was a little
long. It was a little long. Here's what went on, Wendy. She couldn't hear me. Harbour, age 41, told People magazine at the Writers Guild Awards in New York on Sunday night, which I was confused by because I was screaming. He was. But apparently she couldn't hear me. Let me just stop the story for a little bit. No, wrong, impossible. She was right next to him. And I know it was a big room, and it might have been a little bit hard to hear, maybe kind of, but she was right next to him.
Yeah, but I listen to me, and we've done this at our Hometown Voices appearances.
Mm-hmm.
If we have a guest who's four people down the table, mm-hmm. they always say, should we wear headphones? And I always say yes, mm-hmm. because you're far away. There's ambient noise going on in the room, and you don't want to be on a microphone going, what? What did you say? So I believe she didn't hear him. I don't believe that's why she was making the faces, though.
Let's say, for the sake of argument, that she couldn't hear him. Would your first reaction be to make a series of bizarre emoji faces? Would that be your first move? That wouldn't be it.
She was kind of cocking her head like, what is he saying?
Yeah.
What? I don't know. Maybe I'm buying it. I'm gullible, aren't I?
I don't believe this for a second. Also, let me use this as part of the evidence. I mentioned this to you, that before they went up and won the award, a couple of times the camera would kind of sweep through the audience, and every time you saw Winona Ryder sitting at the table, she was doing that. She was just sitting there. The rest of them were eating their Jell-O, and she was just making faces.
Maybe
the
she
whole
couldn't
time.
Hear very well that night. Maybe she
I
needs
guess.
To get her hearing checked. That is weird, though.
But I know so many people who have hearing difficulties. Walter Jacobson used to. He doesn't anymore, but he used to have. And I've never seen Walter make any of those faces that Winona Ryder was making.
No, he just ignores me. But I don't think it's
separate.
From his hearing.
Totally separate. Totally separate. Harbour plays Police Chief Jim Hopper in the acclaimed sci-fi Netflix series. He is good. He's a very good actor. While Ryder plays Joyce Byers, mother to a missing 12-year-old boy.
And she's very good in this.
Yes.
She really is.
So good that maybe she thinks her son is missing. And she is very upset about this. And her way to combat this is by making a series of frightening faces. The Shrine Auditorium's acoustics may have been partially to blame. Now, let me... More evidence, if I may. There were other people who won awards that went up there with either people that they acted with or who were their directors or producers. There were other people who won awards and made speeches, and they were flanked by people who also worked on the same project, and none of them made similar faces to Winona Ryder.
Although we don't know if they could hear them. They just probably didn't make faces because it's right. Like, okay, we're just right. Wah, 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 wah. And as soon as the noise stopped, they'd take a bow and get off the stage.
It's possible.
Those were some crazy-ass faces.
Every one of them. Every one of those faces. Like, just if she made one of those faces, just one, I'd say something's going on with Winona Ryder. But she made about 8 or 9 of them.
Maybe she just did it because now people are talking about her. I'm going to do that next time I'm on camera.
Right.
Just make really bizarre.
Do it during our CLTV hour.
We don't have one.
No. The Shrine Auditorium's acoustics.
You'll be on Facebook Live, though, soon.
Yeah, put it on Facebook Live.
We will?
I think so. Is that true, Kim?
Aren't you going to be on Facebook Live, like, once you switch?
I don't know.
No, that's ham radio, Bill says.
We're going to be on ham radio for sure.
Oh, I thought it was Facebook.
Oh, we're really doing Facebook Live?
I think they mentioned it. I don't know.
God, now I got to wash my hair every day.
You don't have to.
I'm not. Back to you.
Sorry.
I don't know how much money you have in your bank account. I don't have a lot in my bank account, but I think we should spend our money on having Winona Ryder just sit between us when we do the ham radio hour in a couple weeks and just make faces for that whole hour. I don't know what her rate is.
She hasn't had a job in a while, although The Stranger Things is award-winning now, so she's going to charge more. Last year, we could have gotten her for $50.
No.
You got to watch her. Doesn't she shoplift?
She does.
She did have a lot of... Did she have drug problems, too?
She's had a myriad of problems.
She had Johnny Depp for a while.
She had Johnny Depp problems.
He had a tattoo that said Winona.
Winona forever.
And then he changed it...
To Wino forever.
Oh, that's... God, why aren't they still together? They're perfect together. Maybe they'll get back. He's having some marital strife.
And it, yeah, that's over. They're no longer married. That's done.
I'd like to see those two get back. Yeah.
Amber Heard is out. The Heard has escaped, Wendy. All right, there's a little bit more.
Winona didn't. Heard.
No, she didn't.
That was her problem.
Right. That's the right. All right. I have more explanation for you. And if you want to chime in, 312-981-7200, it's Bill and Wendy on WGN. All right. We're trying to explain the mystery of Winona Ryder a couple of short weeks ago during the Screen Actors Guild Award. Winona Ryder exhibited what I would call some erratic behavior while her team was accepting the group award, the group acting award, ensemble acting award. She just kept making faces while David Harbour spoke, and we all worried about her. A lot of Hollywood female characters are not treated as badass. I wanted to talk about that. The women characters in our story have that such power, says David Harbour. Again, trying to explain to everybody that Winona Ryder isn't Looney Tunes. She just couldn't hear him, even though he was about 8 inches away.
Still, it's a big auditorium. He's talking into a microphone, which the speakers are back by the audience.
That's true.
There's no monitor. Like, you know, if you're in a band, you have a monitor where you can hear it. Not.
They don't have it there.
I doubt it, but still, I believe that. I don't believe that's why she made the crazy faces, though.
May I ask this question? On stage at the time, as David Harbour spoke, there were roughly 20 people on stage. But Winona Ryder, who was closest to him, was the only one making that series of faces. Why wasn't everybody making those faces?
Like I said, I believe she didn't hear him, but I don't believe that's why she made the faces.
I don't think so either. While the internet was sent into a tizzy with, and that's true, remember the internet was in a tizzy?
Yep.
I got a tizzy alert. That's the first tizzy alert I ever had. Well, the internet was sent into a tizzy with Ryder's meme-worthy reaction. Many in the audience met Harbour's words with a roar of applause. They heard him. Out of the corner of my eye, I could see Denzel Washington and Meryl Streep standing up, he recalled. The reason why I was shaking and everything was just because I couldn't believe that we were at this moment in my life. There are people who I've grown up with and people who I've admired my whole life, and to be considered among them or be part of them was a truly great moment. These, again, the words of David Harbour, who was speaking as Winona Ryder made a series of goofy faces. His nearly two-minute speech, in which he joked about going over his allotted 45 seconds.
It was way too long.
Touched. It was, but it was one of those times where you almost couldn't stop it. He had so much momentum, and the crowd was so with him, you know, that it I don't know how you could have stopped him at that point. And I didn't want it to stop because that would have meant Winona Ryder's faces would have stopped. If that had gone on, that should have been the playout music.
I know.
That should have absolutely been, the orchestra should have jumped on that.
I did not see this on the internet, though, did you? I saw the pizzas. I
no.
heard. I'm gonna make my own meme.
Or Twilight Zone music would have also been fitting.
That's good.
Or the hit People Are Strange.
Yeah.
For some reason, if they would have just subtly played that.
Bow, 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 bow.
Right. Yeah, that would have been okay. I'm looking at Winona Ryder's IMDb page, and she's one of those people that you forget how many good things she's been in.
All right, tell us.
I'm not. I can't go all through them.
Somebody said after filming Lucas, it's all been downhill for Winona.
Did you ever
that
see
was her
in Lucas?
Swan song. She was great.
Really good in Lucas.
She's a great actress. She's good in Stranger Things.
She's very good in Stranger Things. Edward Scissorhands is, I think, maybe her best work.
Love
that
movie.
Although, did you ever see Girl Interrupted? It's not a happy tale. If you're not in the mood for it, it's a hard movie to watch. But Winona Ryder and Angelina Jolie and several other actresses.
I think I did see that.
That's very disturbing, but she's really good in that. I'm looking at her IMDb page. I would say roughly 60 to 70 movies, which, seriously, that's pretty good for somebody who's in her 40s. Some of these are TV
and a
shows.
Woman. Jeez, you.
And a lady. Reality Bites. I forgot she was in that.
What a great movie.
The Crucible. She's really good in that. Zoolander, she's got a small part in that.
I don't remember her in that.
I'm trying to think of which of these. Frankenweenie. I just wanted to say Frankenweenie. She's not even in it. I just felt like saying the word Frankenweenie.
It is fun.
Now, it says here Beetlejuice 2, which is kind of wrong because there is no Beetlejuice 2.
There isn't?
I don't think so.
Does it say post-production?
Maybe it's coming
or it's
up.
Coming? What's the date?
It's under the bracket of announced projects. So, but did you hear anything about Beetlejuice 2? This
no,
is the first
but
time
I
hearing of that.
Can keep my fingers crossed.
I want in.
I'm a big Beetlejuice fan.
Yeah, so that's where things stand with her right now. I hope she's, much like David Cassidy, I hope there's not more to this. I hope we don't find out in a week that she also has some version of dementia. That would be horrible.
Horrible?
Horrible. That would be
Thank
horrible.
Thank you, Howard Stern Jr.
You're welcome. Robin, now the news. I just want her to be, I want her to be okay. I don't want her to be
You didn't listen
sickly.
To my Robin.
Oh, that was very good. That was very good. Let's hope she's okay.
I'm sure she's okay. She's just a strange girl.
Right. She, you know what? She is.
Maybe she just did it so people would be talking about her.
Don't you wonder sometimes when there's episodes like this, if that isn't the thought process? If she's just on her way to the convention center that night going, well, there's going to be a lot of famous people there. What can I do to get myself noticed? I'll just make funny faces every time the camera's near me.
Does she have kids? Maybe she told her kids, you know, I will. My shout out to you will be making weird faces. We did a cooking show a million years ago on PBS or something. I can't even remember. And
who did? Oh, you and I did.
We did. And my husband said, I want you to say a word so I know you're thinking of me. And the word was savory.
Oh.
So I worked it into what I was saying. So maybe she just told her kids, you know what? Mommy will make some really, I'll make a goofy face so you know I'm thinking about you. And then she just kind of took it one step a little farther. Or maybe she has that many kids.
It could be, except that according to IMDb, it doesn't look like she has any children.
Does she have cats? Maybe she's doing it for her kids. Watch mommy on TV.
She does. She has a panther.
Ah.
So it's very possible that she was trying to impress her panther. Her real name, by the way?
What?
Winona Laura Horowitz. She was born in Winona, Minnesota.
Honest to God,
might have something to do with her name. I can't guarantee that. But her name is Winona Laura Horowitz, and she was born October 71 in Winona, Minnesota. Wow. That is our tribute to Winona Ryder. Transcripts available through Burrell Transcripts later today. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Woof, woof, woof.
That sound, Wendy, means that we have been blessed with a visit from our friend, noted pet expert Steve Dale, who's sitting right over there in the Steve Dale chair. Hi, Steve.
I am in the chair. It's the high chair.
Yes.
That way I can reach the console.
Right.
I am standing. What do you mean?
We go back a long way, I'm thinking about this, when you used to be on our show on another radio station.
Actually, what maybe made you think, we used to stand, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, way back when.
Yeah.
When we were younger.
We had energy then.
No. I still have energy.
Nah, it's not the same.
It is the same.
It's not the same.
Can I tell you, I really do like to stand, but the way this counter is set up, that you it would be more difficult.
It would be almost impossible, and yet I have seen Steve stand
that,
up here
yeah.
where you're sitting now.
Yeah. That's what I did.
Oh, I thought he was sitting.
No, well, no, now he's
Hey!
No.
My attorneys will be calling you immediately.
You don't need that sort of behavior.
I am standing.
Steve, I'm looking through some of your topics that you want to discuss
yes.
with us, and it really is back and forth with bad news and good news and bad news. I'll let you decide. Which do you want to cover first?
Well, Illinois, the state we live in, was once considered the most humane state in America.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was awarded. Several different times by national...
In terms
national,
of by, treatment of animals.
Mm-hmm,
with pets.
And creation of laws and ordinances to protect animals.
Yeah.
Now the reverse may be true. And in fact, Illinois may be the most inhumane state with what's going on right now.
Talk to us.
So some time ago, remember last year there was a lion by the name of, Cecil. That was in Africa, sort of a celebrity lion in Zimbabwe.
And the dentist killed him?
And the dentist, right, you've got a good memory. A dentist in Minnesota killed him. Here's how that has to do with Illinois. Our legislators at that time appropriately said, as did legislators all over America, this is wrong, it's horrible, how can they, you know, and it is a terrible thing to do. A week later, in California, what they did was decide to protect the bobcat. In Illinois, we don't have lion here. We don't have tigers or leopards. We don't have big cats. We don't. We have mountain lion in America, but not in Illinois, really. However, we have bobcat. Not many of them, but we have them.
God, they're beautiful.
And there won't be as many of them now because Illinois legislators, unlike California legislators that said, let's protect what we have for sure and officially proclaim this animal is protected. In Illinois, hunting has officially, or will in 2017, begin for bobcat. Bobcat hunts.
Where do they roam?
Mostly central and southern Illinois. I mean, they're not in Cook County, but they're around. You don't see them a lot because they're, even if you live in southern or central Illinois, because they're greatly nocturnal. They want to keep away from people. And there aren't that many of them.
So they're not attacking people's dogs like the coyotes are?
No. Now, in some rural areas, I don't know, maybe a rooster was taken somewhere. I don't know. I'm not saying they'd be beyond that. Coyotes are another one, though. Glad you brought that up. So hooray for Illinois that has begun coyote hunts and roundups. And they call them that now. So they go out and they have a goal to kill X number of coyotes. They shoot them. They maybe kill them. They maybe don't. In the meantime, they're wandering for a day or two or three or four or five in the woods, suffering.
Injured, yeah.
Ultimately, they're going to die. They maintain there are too many coyotes, but by killing the coyotes, what happens is, well, then there are too many rodents.
Yeah.
And too many rabbits, because that's what coyotes eat, along with deer. I mean, a persistent complaint has been there are too many deer. Coyotes don't take a lot of deer because deer are big and coyotes are smaller. But still, they get the does. They get the injured or old or sick deer. They will. So it's beyond me. But it's not only the fact that they're killing them. It's the way in which it's being done. They're using GPS. They're using all of these modern technology systems.
It's like a video game.
They don't have. Yes, actually, yes. There's no way the coyote can win. It's not sport, you know. So I'm not a fan of hunting, but at least I can comprehend someone getting up at 5 a.m. to shoot deer or quail or whatever.
It's a sport.
Yeah, it kind of is. I don't know.
I'm not a big hunting fan, but I understand.
Right, exactly. This is incomprehensible to me. Also, Illinois legislators recently said we like puppy mills.
What? They said they like puppy mills?
Well, those are my words. But what they did do is a coalition, and I think this is the first time this has been talked about on the radio, because this is new. It's a bill that will actually help puppy mills to prosper. This coalition calls themselves the Pet Lovers Association. They are the American Kennel Club, the Pet Industry Joint Advisory Council. They're a lobbying organization. The Federation of Dog Clubs and Owners, and the Illinois Veterinary Medical Association. What they want there's that law in Cook County now that you cannot buy, and in Chicago and a couple of other communities in Illinois, well over 100 around America, that you cannot buy a dog or a cat from a pet store because that dog is going to be from a puppy mill. Cats are from similar type commercial facilities. Those laws I love. You know, it's one way to get at the puppy mills, right? Well, what this group wants to do, if they get their way, will be to send those laws that already have been passed to prevent them from being enforced and to prevent any other community in Illinois to pass a similar law. That's happened in Arizona. It's happened in Ohio. What they did in those states was very quickly, kind of in the cover of darkness, they put through the law, and boom, the next day it was passed. In Illinois, nothing happens that fast. So word has gotten out about it. So people like me at least can talk about it. So I guess in a good way, it's a good thing that our states move so slowly. I think a lot of the legislators who signed on to this had no idea what they were signing on to. Right. But nevertheless, it is not a good thing and not a good idea.
I'm surprised, Steve, because you're so outspoken with you wanting everything to be okay by the animals. Did you make any attempt in Springfield to try to sway them at all?
Well, I've been talking to the Humane Society of the United States about this. They are meeting, as we speak, with some legislators. And depending on what happens out of that meeting, on my show this Sunday, I may have a legislator or two on. I would argue they really didn't know what they were signing on to. I would hope not. Democrats and Republicans, by the way, signed on to this thing because the proposal also talks about microchipping and the importance of microchipping and hides all this other stuff. However, while microchipping is important, right now, if you adopt a dog or a cat from an animal shelter or rescue in Illinois, by law, that pet has to be microchipped anyway. So the law is silly, the proposed law.
You know, congratulations to the German Shepherd that won the Westminster pet show.
Very nice.
Here's why I say that.
Bill was watching that.
Yeah, I loved it.
German Shepherds don't typically win best in show.
They haven't for a while. Right. They do okay.
But, you know, with all these, I love watching the dog show and the puppy bowl and all that stuff. But then all of a sudden I start thinking, you know, these purebred animals, doesn't that make somebody want to go to a breeder? Why don't you get a purebred at a rescue place? Like, even breeders, to me, seem... Why can't we adopt the dogs that are already out there in need of a home?
Yes. I mean, I understand what you're saying. At some point, if we have no dog breeders, we're not going to have any German Shepherds. You know, it's not going to happen tomorrow. Having said that, of course, I'm all for rescue and adoption. I think that's great. And it's interesting... And not surprising that the ratings aren't the same, you know, as they were 5 or 6 years ago, for example, for the Westminster Kennel Club dog show. A lot of people watch that and actually cringe, you know. I didn't write about it this year for the first year in forever, and no one complained. So it just seems as though that the interest in some of this is waning a bit with the general public for reasons that we're talking about.
And if you want a particular breed, Google online, because it seems like years ago there were only a couple, and now any breed you're looking for.
Saluki.
Lhasa Apso's.
Yeah, you name it.
Newfoundlands. I mean,
yeah, yeah. Even the more uncommon breeds, you know, like Havanese, a breed that Bill wants 3 or 4 of.
I would like to have 3 or 4 Havanese. Yeah, I thought it was a cheese until just a second ago. you said people would watch it and they would cringe. Why? How come people were cringing?
Well, you know, they see the... So the German Shepherd dog, the back is kind of sloped.
Yeah.
And the legs look like they're dwarfed almost. You
know? They're shorter,
So it's some of the breeding that's been done that make people cringe. And also just the fact that I think... you know what? I'm a fan of purebred dogs and incidentally purebred cats. I've had them.
Yeah.
You know, and I would again. Would I go to a breeder or a rescue? I don't know. It depends what's available and timing as much as...
True.
But having said all that, I think there's more awareness about rescue, and I do know for a fact that more people are adopting than ever before. I mean, it was when I began all this 20 years ago, 70, 60, somewhere in there, percent of dogs were purebred dogs. Now it's probably about the other way around.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah.
Change a rescue for every breed.
Yeah.
There's a Bill Leff rescue.
Yeah.
I doubt it. I don't think so.
Come on. All right. We'll take a quick break.
Not that.
More with noted pet expert Steve Dale. Do you want to jump in? You have a question or a comment? 312-981-7200. Not you, Steve. You're already here. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I just want to listen to Bob Marley, if that's okay.
This is fine. Steve, dance with me.
No.
All right. Noted pet expert Steve Dale is here. His dance card is punched.
You'll be punched later, too.
Probably. 312-981-7200 if you want to call or text us.
So dogs dig reggae.
Apparently, yes. So Marley and Me could have been about something completely different, as it turns out. So a study was...
That was enjoyable.
I love your half a second delay on that.
That was very enjoyable.
Are you listening to the delay feed? Or that was so cute. All right. Dogs like reggae.
So a study was done for which purpose, I'm not exactly sure. Actually, I do know, because dogs in animal shelters in particular can be rather anxious, stressed out. I mean, they don't know why they're there. To say shelters are like jails, some people say, is absolutely wrong. But they're not the most pleasant place sometimes for dogs to be. They're noisy. They smell the fear and everything else going on. We don't even know what they smell, but it's not all good. And in addition to that, they're confined, you know. It's not like being in a home. So they do get stressed. How can we relax these dogs more? And studies were done years ago to determine that dogs, in fact, do respond to music. Their anxiety level seems to lower just a little bit. An initial study found that it was classical music that did the trick. But a study that was recently done by the Scottish SPCA.
Yeah.
Did I say that?
Scottish or Scottish?
Scottish.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know how to do the Scottish.
No, you don't.
No, you really missed it by a long shot. That's okay.
I thought maybe one of you would pick it up. But
no.
No, not touching it.
Nope.
And the University of Glasgow, they did a study that determined that it turns out to be reggae music and also soft rock. So reggae is first. Yeah. So I guess it's Bob Marley followed by, I don't know, Karen Carpenter that they prefer. So they like those two kinds of music the most.
That was Steve's go-to on a soft rock performer.
That was a good choice.
That was a good choice.
I thought it was okay.
Very solid.
You know, reggae music, the beat of reggae, according to my friend and yogi John Marcoux, is exactly that of a human resting heartbeat.
Oh,
so
I can
maybe
see
that.
That
is very
that
soothing
makes sense.
Like that.
Makes
I played
sense.
It in the labor and delivery room when I had my babies.
Did you? Yeah.
And it does soothe people, so it makes sense that it would soothe animals.
Yeah, so there are still some researchers that say this is nonsense. The dogs essentially pay as much attention to music as they do a horn honking outside or kids screaming as they ride by on their bicycles. That's just background noise.
Yeah.
But then, as you point out, we're apparently learning more about what music does for people. So in senior centers, people that have dementia, apparently who cannot remember their own name, recall Beach Boy lyrics, you know?
That's amazing to me, that music therapy. It's pretty something.
Yep. And I would argue that if it works for people on some level, it's going to help dogs to relax too. So I am so excited about a movie premiere that's happening right here in Chicago.
What is the movie, Steve?
At Keddie. Have you seen
it? Not a word. What is it called?
Kitty?
That's a word.
Well, no, it's spelled K-E-D-I.
Oh, Keddie, all right.
And as he said.
It's the name of a cat.
Oh.
And this movie stars six other cats in addition to Keddie.
Is it an all-cat cast?
Yes.
It is mostly cats.
Yes. It's a documentary.
Because they could go back and do that with other, like Cat on a Hudson Roof with all cats would be
That would
stupid.
Be good.
Oh, it would be good.
I like it, yeah. Right. In fact, in the trailer, you see a cat walking along a rooftop.
Yeah.
So it could be that the muse for
you
that was...
You two should take it on the road. Can I just tell you
it's
that?
It's been suggested. Management has suggested
like
that.
Like now, take it on the road.
They've told me to go on the road quite frequently.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
So this is exciting because the movie is coming to Chicago at the Music Box Theater. On February 24th, that's the premiere, and then plays at different times, different days, through March 2nd. And here's what it's about. You know, when you go to a city in Mexico, where you guys have been at one time or another, you see these street cats.
Tons of them.
Uh-huh. In Istanbul, they are street cats. They are living on the street, but they are pets. People have names for them. They regularly visit certain businesses, certain homes. They get fed. They get pet. They get cared for. They are loved, but they don't spend the night in those places. And maybe they show up only once a week at a particular house or a particular business. So they're kind of owned and kind of not. They live in this in-between world. And that is what this documentary is about. Doesn't it sound great?
You know, it does.
I like it. It's like Cat Limbo.
Yeah.
It is.
But it's kind of a love story because so many of these people, what's really interesting is so many of these people talk to these cats who they kind of know and kind of don't. And they tell them their problems. They communicate with them in all sorts of different ways that makes them better, feel better. It's fascinating what these cats who are kind of not owned and kind of owned do for these people.
Why does it happen so often in real tropical locations? Like I remember in the Bahamas and in the Turks and Caicos Islands.
Too.
In Hawaii, they have this community of cats that just kind of live on their own, sometimes on the beach or nearby.
Well, we have feral cats that live in Chicago. There just aren't as many of them because...
They want to go where it's warm and when there's a beach.
Yeah, and people spay neuter here, you know. So in urban areas, and in the United States, you don't have quite as many as you do in some other places in the world because there's more spay neuter.
Right.
You know, but it's just a fascinating story. It's at the Music Box Theater that is just west of Wrigley Field on Southport, 3733 North Southport.
That's Friday night.
Mm-hmm, and Thursday night, I am going to be at Eat Your Heart Out. It's a event for the anti-
nom 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 nom.
It's an event. It's waiting for something. It's an event at I shouldn't have. It's the an event at the Anti Cruelty Society of or for the Anti Cruelty Society of Chicago. This is important because it's their big fundraiser, uh-huh. So it's a big deal anyway. But above and beyond that, it's also because the dog flu has hit anti-cruelty really hard.
Yeah.
They've stopped adoptions. Of course, they have to treat the animals with the flu. It has spread so quickly. I mean, just in days it spread. So we're talking, I think, about 100 dogs that, you know, had symptoms of the flu, nearly their entire population. So they have to be treated. Even dogs who didn't have the flu need to be treated preventively. So that costs money. So if there's a time to step up for the Anti-Cruelty of Society of Chicago, this is it. And you can help them out. The event is this Thursday. It's called Eat Your Heart Out.
How do we get tickets for that or donate?
Anticruelty.org for further information. And that's a great idea. If you can't attend and have it in your heart to just donate, that's a great, great thing to do.
That is noted pet expert Steve Dale. If you need somebody who knows about pets and can do a really awful Scottish accent, he is definitely your guy. Steve, thank you.
A hoot and a holler to ya.
See what I mean?
That's
not even close.
That's great. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you,
Steve. Appreciate you being here. Have a great rest of the week. We have something very nice to give away.
How about the Bill and Wendy Firehouse Subs lunch break right here, right now? You can win a Firehouse Subs gift card, Bill. Pick the number, caller.
Caller 18.
You make Kevin work
very hard. Well, he's back from vacation. I got to get him back in the swing of things.
312-981-7200. Caller number 18 will walk away with a Firehouse Subs gift card. If you don't win one today, another shot coming your way tomorrow, and you can just go to a Firehouse Subs. If you do, ask for the Bill and Wendy special. You'll get the make-your-own sub. You can build a medium sub of your choice with some of these meats, turkey, ham, or roast beef. You can put on some accoutrement, including lettuce, tomato, mayo, mustard, pickle spear on the side.
That was a better Scottish accent than Steve's, and that was a French word.
The Make Your Own Sub Bill and Wendy special is only $4.99. Find a Firehouse Sub near you at firehousesubs.com. Firehouse Subs, the hero of all subs. And we have a winner, caller number 18 at 312-981-7200.
It's kind of a strange name. Oh, wait, hold on.
It's
she changed her
name.
She had a name, and then it changed. Did you see that?
Kevin misheard her. Linda from Midlothian, congratulations. Your chance to win another Firehouse Subs gift card coming your way tomorrow.
Thank you, Kim. Hi, everybody. It's Bill F., and it's Wendy Snyder. This is part two of our Tuesday show. If you're scoring at home, write this down as part two for the Tuesday show.
On the Monday show, we were talking about words that you say that make you sound old, and you know what you just said right now.
Well, I purposely said Tuesday in an affected way to make myself sound more scholarly. Did that work?
You didn't. You said Tuesday.
That's the way, for some reason, several of our teachers referred to the day, the second day of the week, as when I was a kid, and all of us, we would silently mutter to ourselves, Tuesday, like that. Like, why would you say it that way?
No, you didn't say it that. You said Tuesday.
Tuesday. Yeah, that's my own flair on it.
I
hope
like
you enjoyed it. I've copywritten it, so don't steal it from
you
me.
You should do that.
Please. You were just telling me something that I find fascinating. Tomorrow, an appearance from John Duffy, Dr. John Duffy, the author of The Available Parent. We have him on every other week on Wednesdays. And there's a topic that is disturbing you greatly, and you said we should bring this up to him, and we should.
Have you ever watched the show Hoarders?
I saw one episode once.
The whole show?
I saw a whole episode once.
Kevin, have you ever seen Hoarders on A&E?
Oh, yeah.
I am worried that I am a borderline hoarder.
Are you heading borderline in the hoarder direction?
Mm-hmm. I collect things. I watch some of these people, and this is to the utmost extreme.
Yeah.
I save a lot of things because I think I will use them later.
Eventually, you'll get around to you. Like, give us an example. What's something that you saved that you think to yourself, I'll probably use this at some point, but you never have?
Well, I have a couple of things that I've saved that Jim thinks I'm cuckoo for saving, and I have used it. A lampshade ripped, and I saved. It's just, I can't say it. It sounds
Why?
So stupid.
You can say it.
I, you know what? I should apply to be on the show. Although I'd be like,
I don't think you come close.
I don't.
Because I've seen the promos for these shows, and they're just, it's like there was a lady who had just wall-to-wall newspapers. For some reason, newspapers fit into the scenario a lot, where they just save, and they have piles of them. It's like a maze in their apartments of newspapers.
Mine is just basically my dining room table, which, you know, now everything's piled because we're getting everything remodeled. But I will have more room. But I saved, you know, when you have a lampshade and there's a ring at the bottom, the lampshade ripped, and I took all the fabric off and saved the wire part of the lampshade.
Because why?
I thought I could use it for something. And if I can just say, if you
when
go
you
to,
say for something, though,
I didn't know at the time.
Like art?
Yeah, I really like to do crafts.
Yeah.
So it's funny because if you go to a lot of the antique stores, you see a lot of those wire-rimmed lampshades without
them.
The shades.
Right.
And people like will put a light bulb in them and make their own light.
How long have you had it?
It's now I've used it in the garden. I used it. Oh. I like circles, so I made kind of a garden sculpture out of the circles of it.
Oh.
So I did use it.
You
but
did
it,
use it.
But it took me probably 8 years
use
it.
Oh, really? Well, all right, that's kind of a long time. But you don't have the volume that these people have.
No, but for some reason, I just totally related to these people because, I don't know, I think I'm watching the latest season, which now I'm going to completely binge watch. I think they're in season 6, maybe, and that's what I started watching, but I got to go back to season 1, and I'm going to watch each and every one so I can feel the pain of each and every hoarder because it doesn't... It usually starts from something horrible that has happened in their life. One woman, see, this is weird too, Bill, because there's a woman who was a daycare provider.
Yeah.
And she had one room that was made just for her daycare. Uh-huh. And then the rest of the house became cluttered up, like every room, to so much so that her teenage son was actually taken away from her because there was nowhere to live in that house. So she had 3 children total. Her youngest son went to live with one of the older daughters. And as this woman starts, they always bring in a therapist and then a junk remover. He's a hoarder expert.
Mm-hmm.
And then great commercial for 1-800-GOT-JUNK because they have fleets of trucks
Do
coming
through. Do
they
sponsor it? They should sponsor the show
Obviously,
Hoarders.
Obviously, because they're on every episode.
Oh.
Just point to it. You can't point to some of this stuff because it's
everywhere.
Yeah. So this woman has daycare going on in her house. And so the rest of her house became very cluttered, but the daycare room was kept very clean and she was a good daycare provider.
Yeah.
Well, ultimately it's, when they came to inspect her house, the state came to inspect to make sure everything's cool for daycare. They said, okay, well, we'd like to see the rest of your house. And that's when it happened, and she got her license taken away. And that's when she lost her kid because it's like there was no running water. I mean, it's just like unreal. And so then when every person has to go through their own junk because they have to purge. They have to themselves release the emotion from it because if you have somebody come in and just clear it all out, it's like you're just going to hoard again.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
So I'm heartbroken for this woman who...
Do they do that thing where it's 3 piles, the stuff you're saving, the stuff you're getting rid of, and then the stuff that you're somewhere on the fence on? Do they do that?
No, because there's so much stuff that they just bring it out in the yard and put it on tarps and stuff. Yeah. But this woman is like looking at a Dr. Seuss Hop on Pop book, and she said, I can't get rid of this. And they said, why not? All your kids are grown up. And she goes, well, for the daycare. And they're like, you're not doing the daycare anymore. And she goes, but when I start doing it again,
they're delusional.
It is. It's really heartbreaking.
Don't you think most people have a small, like, it sounds to me, I know you're being hard on yourself. It sounds like you have a little element of this.
It's nothing like this.
No, there's a bracket that's just so far out of reach.
I do have a lot of junk drawers. I'll give you that. But yeah. I can still walk in my house.
Right.
These people cannot. There was one guy who finally met the love of his life. It turns out she was an alcoholic. He was enabling her. So she had drunk herself silly, had some seizures, and the EMTs couldn't get to her in the bedroom upstairs because everything was blocked. The stairway was blocked.
Right.
They showed him. It looked like a little monkey because he climbed on piles of stuff, and then he had to turn a certain way to get upstairs to see her. It's like, how do you not know that's happening?
I think they know, but I think there's some kind of blockage where even though you know that it's happening and you know it's not quite normal, maybe you're just too far gone to correct it.
I guess. And, you know, they do follow-ups with these people and there's like aftercare help.
Well, does it usually end well or not usually?
It gives, you know, little teletype graphics that says, you know, Kimmy went to see her aftercare provider and is living with her daughter until the house gets cleaned up.
Yeah.
I don't know if they do a follow-up. I'm on their Facebook page. It's an A&E show, and it looks like they are doing follow-ups to some of the hoarders that they've had earlier seasons.
Right.
But I don't want to watch that yet because I want to go back to season one.
Right, do it in order.
I have to watch this because I can't get like that. Don't let me get like that.
I don't think you would ever get like that. I think people are just destined to this for some reason. I've known a couple people in my life who have an element to this where it gets to... let's take a quick break and I'll tell you a story about my aunt. You won't believe, my great aunt, that is just, it's hard to believe, but it's true. Stick around. And if you have a comment or a question, you know how to reach us. We're at 312-981-7200. We're talking about hoarding. Are you heading in that direction? It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right. We are talking about the show Hoarders on A&E, which I made the mistake of watching. Our house is a mess, doing some renovation work. So we had to pull everything out of the bedroom and the basement. There's a lot of rooms in disarray. So I was trying to commiserate with the hoarders, and then I realized that they have so much going on.
Sure.
Someone suggested that they are just holding on to the past. Can't let go of the past, cling to a better future, never fully in the present. And it does seem like that a lot.
Well, all right. Those are the people who are saving, like, baby clothes from the 1950s or 60s. And like, you know, the first time my child did this or the second time my child did that. So that's the holding on to the past. But there's plenty of other people that just save, like, you know, all kinds of old magazines. And I know because I'm a collector myself, you'll find something that interests you and you'll focus on it.
But can I ask you, as being a collector and my husband, too, with the Star Wars action figures, you all kinds of toys.
Yeah.
In a weird way, you are a hoarder because you are... What's the difference really between a collector and a hoarder other than you keep yours organized?
I can't figure that out because it's the same little glitch in your brain that wants to keep accumulating and accumulating. And I'm out of room. I have two rooms in my house that are so the thought that I keep buying stuff is ridiculous because I know I've been out of space for a long time. But I still buy stuff all the time.
This poor guy worked at a men's shop for years, for, I don't know, over 20 years. And he got let go from his job or the store went under. So he purchased all these brand new shirts and sheets and everything. So his hoarding was all new stuff. But then, of course, when you have a house that's completely packed to the brim with crap... You get crap because there are mice, there are roaches. There was this one family, when they were cleaning it out, they'd pull a cabinet away from the wall. There are roaches all over. I mean, and two of the people in the family had asthma.
That's
completely exacerbates that.
My father's aunt, Aunt Barbara, lived in Florida. She just died a couple of years ago. And in her house, she had a pretty decent-sized house. In every single room of the house, every single room, it was racks and racks and racks of clothing. No matter what room you went into, some of them were the portable racks on wheels that you could push. Some of them were just, you know, standing alone. You couldn't do anything with them. And every rack was filled start to finish with clothes. And a lot of them, I don't think she ever wore. Right. We would go on shopping excursions with her where she would buy and buy and buy and buy. And my dad would say, are you ever going to wear this? Who knows? But at some point I might, you know, and she would just buy it and bring it home, put it on one of the racks.
See, I'm like that to an extent. When I was cleaning my closet out, I found shoes that I'm like, I forgot about these.
Yeah.
So I have got to purge because I am right on the cusp, I think, of being like these poor people. Mm. It breaks my heart.
Yeah, I know.
We have to talk to Dr. John Duffy about
this tomorrow morning. Yeah.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, I used to run an antique mall in downstate Illinois, and we would go on house calls, and a lot of times we would run across particularly elderly people that lost a spouse, and they would keep stuff, not so much because they wanted it, but it was physically and emotionally easier for them to store it than deal with it.
That makes sense.
It makes total sense.
You,
Yeah, every time you touch it, you know, you have to make a decision. So if they had the room, it made a lot more sense in their mind at that time to put it aside than to deal with the physical and emotional side of deciding what to keep and what not to keep.
These people really could not make a decision, and I get that. You know, Marie Kondo does this book where it's like if you hold something up when you're decluttering your house. It's been on the New York Times bestseller forever. And you hold it, and you're supposed to go, does this give me joy?
Yeah.
If this gives me joy, then keep it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But there isn't always rational thinking that goes along with it, particularly in the case of the loss of a spouse or some loss. That is their connection to whatever is not in their life. So they think, if I keep it, I can at least hang on to a bit of it. And before long, their entire life is just a series of paths through the past.
It's, you know, it's crazy because that's so obvious, but it is and it isn't. Because you go, yeah, of course, that is what it is. You're doing a disservice to the person who is no longer with you. Yeah, I get it.
But thanks for dealing with this, guys.
Thanks, great Dan. Show. Of course.
You're thanks, welcome. Dan. I can't believe all the texts and calls we are getting about this. And I'm not being funny about this. I am heartbroken for these people. Some plumbing is out of business, so sometimes people just keep using their toilet even though there is no plumbing going on, and they're living like this.
So is that connected? It's got to be, in some way, it's got to be connected that their priority is to just keep accumulating things and not worry about important things like getting
bills.
Rid of bugs or bills or your plumbing.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, yes. I was going to say, Dan might have hit on it, but it's more than just your regular, obvious, you know, emotional ups and downs, but there's typically a very extreme trauma associated with it. And these folks cannot, like you were mentioning, putting things into piles. They can't differentiate between what has value and what doesn't, because they ascribe value to the things that other people would think is just, you know, garbage. Collecting things, that, you know, that's different in terms of displaying things and things you're passionate about. But then you couple that with major depression and self-neglect. It really is something that takes a long time to treat and to address. And you're absolutely right. Coming in there with a squad of people might temporarily correct the situation, but typically it'll go back to how it was, unfortunately.
It is just really heartbreaking to me. And see, I guess that's the difference, Bill. In a weird way, you hoard toys, but you take pride in them and display them wonderfully. So it's like you don't have any depression. That is, you know,
just the opposite.
And that makes you happy.
Yeah.
And these people, I believe this stuff makes them happy originally. But then, you know, when push comes to shove, they can't believe they're in this situation.
Sure.
Right, and also it's normal for us to have attics that are cluttered or a place in the garage or in the basement, but for these there are different levels of severity, but it's when your common living space is just so cluttered to the hilt, you know, where you can't even make your way through, obviously that's an issue that differentiates from just, you know, the normal areas we all kind of shove things. Another very typical thing is churning. You know, even some of us do this in our normal daily life, like, oh, I'll just put this in this pile. But then you look at that pile 10 more times over the period of 2 months and just create a new pile.
But that's because it does get overwhelming, too.
Right.
And then it's like you do need someone to help you and say, all right, do you need this?
Right, right.
It's really sad.
And for folks who are not in that place, you can usually get through those things and differentiate. But for folks who really are, it becomes impossible for them to separate what's of value and something I treasure and what isn't. It all.
Oh, Lisa, we lost you. And it sounds like either she's a therapist or someone who has had hoarding issues.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Oh, Lisa, thank you for calling.
Somebody, a texter puts, 815, says that the difference between hoarding and collecting is simple. It's just cleanliness. Is that the difference? I guess that's part of it.
I will tell you that, you know, I don't know, because there was this one elderly gentleman who had a farm, and he just went to garage sales and acquired things.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really dirty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there wasn't, a lot of people have like garbage laying around, which, like, how do you intermingle that?
I don't know.
At least I make it in the garbage can. I am like a cusp away from becoming a hoarder. And I really have to watch this whole thing. I'm going to be binge watching
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
It's very sad.
It might be good for you. All right. We'll take a quick break. Steve has the news, and then there's more show. Thanks for being here. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's raining men. Hallelujah. It's raining men. Wendy, get your umbrella out because it is, in fact, raising men.
Raining men, not
it's
raising
men. What did I say? Raising men? What does that mean?
All right. Can I just say that the BuzzFeed community was asked the name of their hot local news people, and two Chicago entries.
Well deserved, by the way.
Who do we mention first?
Well, Larry Potash did fine.
Number 45 out of 50
on the list. Yeah, there's nothing to be embarrassed about there. But way, way, way above Larry.
Not that much higher. 39.
I say that because he's on the line.
Oh,
that's because I could vote over and over. There was right. There wasn't like a
there's
one
no vote. Limit on votes. Pat Tomasulo is with us. One of the sexiest of all news people.
Hottest.
Thank you for clearing that up. I want to make that discrepancy. A lot of people have incorrectly stated it was the sexiest. I'm not saying that I don't also
get right.
that title, but this particular honor was hottest. So thank you. It's like the CMAs and the AMCAs. You know,
okay, but wait a minute.
Yeah.
Pat, then why are you signing your emails? Kevin, how did Pat sign his email today?
It says here, sexy Pat.
Sexy Pat.
I'm campaigning for the next award show. Yeah, I mean, you want to start, you know, it's a PR thing, let's be honest. It's a grassroots campaign, and I'm just trying to get my name out there for when it's time to talk sexy anchors to. That's all.
Pat, they've done this in the past, and you had not made the top 50, but you certainly did for this year, 2016. What did you do differently to make yourself hotter this year than in other years?
Well, I mean, I don't think it was necessarily one thing. You know,
yeah.
I think it's just a combination. It's a lifestyle. It's a state of mind.
Sure,
you know this.
Yep.
And you can't force it. You know that too.
Yeah.
Just, it has to come naturally to you.
You know what's so funny is
I just feel like I came into my own this year. That's all. Also.
Yes.
When you go to BuzzFeed.com and look up the list of 50 hottest news anchors in the world, Pat Tomasulo, of course, bringing in at number 39. Here's what's funny to me. They say network WGN, location Chicago. What makes him hot? His beard. And then they feature a picture of you without a beard.
Oh.
Right. Well, listen, we're not talking about the New York Times here. To be recognized by an institution like BuzzFeed that does wonderful stuff like 90-second recipe videos for Facebook, to be recognized by that highly esteemed a group, you know, it's the summit is really what it is.
That's exactly what it is. All right, let's say they came to you, Pat, and said you have to pick somebody in Chicago. It can't be a coworker. It can't be anybody that you work with there on the morning news on Channel 9. Who would you select as one of the sexiest, hottest?
Well,
I'm sorry, hottest.
I think any list like that leaves Ryan Shiverini off of it.
Mistake.
There's really no list at all. I would have said Paul Conrad because you talk about raw sex appeal, and that's Paul Conrad. That's the first thing I think of when I hear Paul Conrad. But that Shiverini is a handsome guy.
Yep.
I mean, any list that doesn't include him, I have second thoughts about. So he would probably. Shiverini, probably Pete Sack.
Mm-hmm.
I think any list, Dick Johnson.
You just like saying those names. Stop it.
No, that's
they're hot.
Fine men. Yeah.
They're already hot, and then when you throw the names in, they're hotter.
Yeah.
All right, what are you going to do to get above 39 for next year? Is there something you're going to improve upon, your looks, your appearance, anything?
Yeah, well, listen, I can't, you know, you start trying to influence the judges, and that's where you make your cardinal mistake, right? I think I'm just going to be me. That's all I'm
going to do. That's all you
can do. You know, Pat Tomasulo is only one guy. And I'm just trying to feed my family out here, you know?
Yeah.
And if that results in hotness, then more hotness, then that's what it does.
Speaking of your family, Pat, how is Mrs. Tomasulo taking this? And when I say Mrs. Tomasulo, of course, I mean your mom. Or your wife. You can answer either one.
Remarkably, I will be sincere for a minute. If my mother saw it, she would actually think it was a serious thing and would be very happy.
Oh.
So I've not even alerted her because she'll actually think it's a real honor and want to have a serious discussion about it. She doesn't get the, you know, the whole nuance of internet nonsense like that. So she would be very proud. But that's what moms do.
Yeah. And your wife, what does she think?
My wife knows, to be honest with you.
Oh.
I have no idea if my wife even has seen the show in the last 5 days.
Have things been weird between you and Larry Potash since there's a six-number difference in the rankings?
No, I think, not between Larry and I. I think that the real source of tension is the fact that Paul wasn't even included in honorable mention.
Yep.
I know, that stinks.
Which is an oversight, you know, but you see it happens every year. It happens in the in sports, in the All-Star games. Deserving guys are left off the list every year. But, you know, if I can say one thing about Paul is that, you know, you've not lived until you've run your fingers through his chest hair.
Hmm.
I mean, that guy has got a muff on that chest. Hmm. Man, you could put your head on that chest and fall asleep in no time. That's, you know, but Larry and I are supportive. You know, we've told Paul how we feel about it, and we offered to protest our own.
You did that?
We offered to, and we didn't really do it to his face, but we did it. He was in earshot, and we mentioned maybe we would do it. He didn't respond, so we're not going to give it up. But we would have been willing to.
That's so nice.
You know, I think Larry's trying to come up a few spots because I noticed he wasn't wearing a tie this morning and had his shirt completely unbuttoned chest. Yes. Yeah.
Is it Larry or Paul?
Larry.
Larry did.
When did Larry do that?
I'm just kidding. he's buttoned up to the top.
There you go. I watch about 12 minutes of the show. Those are the 12 minutes that I'm on the show. hey, did you see Larry was in another magazine, though?
No. What was he in?
That men's book, the one that advertises $70,000 watches. Have you seen that one?
No.
Yeah, it's like a men's book where they're like, hey, cool things in Chicago, $30,000 to rent a helicopter. Anyway, they profiled guys who are known professional people in their career and are athletes on the side.
Yeah.
And Larry, because he plays pickup basketball, got profiled. And let me tell you, he's a handsome man, as evidenced again. But yeah. That's two honors for him in 1 week.
That's tremendous.
He's having a tremendous week.
Good for him. Well deserved.
Yeah.
And Pat, the list is called the 50 hottest news anchors in the world. So what do you think is, how are they perceiving you globally in other parts of the world? What are they looking at that they're liking?
What are the people in the other parts of the world? It hasn't really, a lot of those countries don't get the internet, so have not even heard of the news, but I've heard from some of the far reaches. I've heard from Brazil, I've heard from Portugal, I've heard from Kuala Lumpur.
Yeah.
I don't speak any of those languages that they speak there. I imagine that it's probably complimentary.
It's
the emails I'm receiving, the Facebook messages, there are a lot of all caps and exclamation points, so it could go the other way, but I'm choosing to believe that it's complimentary.
It's positive. I know it's positive.
Yeah.
Well, we just wanted to congratulate you on
making number
39, the hottest 50 hottest news anchors in the world, WGN-TV Morning News, Pat Tomasulo. And the magazine you were mentioned, I guess Larry Potash has a two-page spread in, check this out, Modern Luxury Men's Book Chicago.
Oh, nice.
Don't you subscribe to that,
Bill? Yeah, I get that at the house. I haven't looked through the new one yet, but I'm going to look through it today.
I just want to thank the four people who nominated me to BuzzFeed and the editors who were too lazy to go looking for better-looking news anchors on their own. Thank you, one and all.
Keep being hot. All right, Pat, that's our advice to you. Stay hot.
I'm going to try.
All right.
I'm going to try, guys. Thank you. Thanks for everything.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Pat.
The always hot, always simmering Pat Tomasulo from the WGN-TV Morning News.
Although he said, I'm glad you told us hot, not sexy, but he did sign his email, Sexy Pat.
Sexy Pat. How about that? Wow. All right, we'll take a quick break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. And now some music.
We're all doing like the Night at the Roxbury.
Right. That's move. Right.
All three of us were doing that.
Can't help it. It's the music. Earlier in the show, we had Bridget Carey on from CNET, and she was telling us about some innovations that have happened in the world of toys, new electronic toys that are out and available or will be soon out and available that she just witnessed at the New York Toy Show over the weekend. And she made mention of a doll, and I want to fill in the blanks on this story. There's a doll out there that we are being told is dangerous, and I'll explain why in just a little bit.
My name is Talky Tina.
It's similar.
Really?
It's similar, yeah. It's a doll called My Friend Kayla, and it says here that they are basically illegal, and I'll explain why the My Friend Kayla doll is illegal. There's a toy in your daughter's bedroom that is taking in your nighttime stories, transmitting her every giggle, and listening to her every breath, her, of course, being your daughter.
Creepy.
Possibly even talking back to her. And parents are being asked to find that doll and replace it and completely destroy it. It is called the My Friend Kayla doll. Kayla is C-A-Y-L-A.
Thanks for specifying.
I just, if people are
the K,
transcribing the show. You know, a lot of people like to just sit down and write down everything
sure.
we say and then act it out using potatoes after the show's over. That'll make it easy for you. Tech news sites like PC Mag and even the BBC are reporting that in Germany, the My Friend Kayla dolls are basically illegal and that they put any child at risk for having his or her privacy invaded. Since hackers can use an unsecure Bluetooth device that is embedded in the toy to listen to and talk to your child while they're playing with the doll.
Okay, that creeps me out.
Isn't that
so
spooky?
Much.
That's so scary. So again, just to reiterate, somehow there's a chip in there that a hacker is able to bypass, and then he can say things through the doll. The hacker could. He or she could say things to the doll, or they could listen to you or your family while they're talking if the doll is there in the room.
Go grab your mommy's purse.
They could do that.
That's weird.
So not only can hackers eavesdrop on your child, it says here, but they can speak to them through the doll. The risk of smart toy hackings has been an issue since January of 2015, and experts warn that the software has still not been fixed. The Vivid Toy Company, which distributes the My Friend Kayla doll, claims that their product is safe. And yet, the company and the Toy Retailers Association state clearly that keeping a child safe while playing with dolls is up to the parents, not the company that makes the dolls.
Okay, to an extent, yeah.
Don't you think? I mean, if they know that that technology exists, they have to do something to try. I mean, I don't know if you can 100% prevent it, but they have to do a better job than they're doing now.
And if they were told there is a chip in My Friend Kayla that will be eavesdropping on your kid,
right.
who would go ahead and buy that doll?
Right.
She's really cute. Kayla's a really cute Let's little see. Doll.
I guess so. What does it look? There's a doll. There's like a more popular doll that it looks. I guess they all kind of look. All dolls, I guess, kind of look the same.
I know you're a toy expert.
But my daughter's had something similar to that.
I had a beautiful Chrissy doll, and she had her sister Velvet, and that's who
yeah.
that looks like.
Yeah.
With the blonde hair.
You're right.
You'd press a button in her back, and her hair would grow.
Yeah.
Or no, the belly button. You'd press the belly button, and you'd. It's really kind of archaic when you think about it. You'd press her belly button and pull on her hair, and her hair would grow.
Just like in real life.
And then there was a crank on her back that you would crank, and then it would go back into a shoulder-length bob.
And that was a Chrissy doll.
Beautiful Chrissy.
Beautiful
has beautiful
Chrissy.
Hair that grows.
Right, right, right.
And her sister Velvet, sold separately.
Now, what was the doll that you could bend? You could completely twist the arm back, and the doll would get chestier?
Growing Up Skipper.
Growing Up Skipper. Right. Also, setting a good path for children that's the way you get larger breasts is to make your arm go all the way back.
You know how many guys on their first date tried to...
I can't even imagine.
Wait, your arm doesn't go backwards like that? Nothing's happening. Kids are
emergency rooms were filled with girls back in the 60s and 70s just because of that.
Kids are very impressionable.
Ugh. The Vivid Toy Company, which distributes the doll, claims that the product is safe. I told you that. We would always expect parents to supervise their children at least intermittently.
Again, you don't think this doll is going to be spying on your
right.
kid.
Right. But isn't there a chance of this sort of thing, with everything from cell phones to computers to even smart TVs? I can imagine there's got to be a situation or two where somebody's been using their computer, their telephone, or their TV, and somebody has somehow hacked into it and can see you, right?
Can I tell you, on day one when we got our new TV, there was a camera on top of it. And the first day, my son Dylan, my youngest son, turned the camera around so it was facing the wall.
Mm-hmm.
The very first day.
Smart.
I mean, I guess if we're Skyping, we would obviously then turn the camera back. But the first day we got it, he turned that camera around to face the wall. Because somebody's watching on the other end of that camera.
I guarantee a smart hacker who's got
like,
the...
That goes with a smart TV, a smart hacker?
Yeah, you have to hook up your... You have to sign up for it. It's a service. You don't just get it for free. That's kind of the opposite purpose of child play, but never mind. They're commenting on the idea that it's up to the parents to make sure that this is safe. The My Friend Kayla dolls are not the first or only internet-enabled doll on the market, and Germans aren't the only ones to push back against open access to kids' conversations. Just 2 years ago, Mattel introduced the Hello Barbie, which was roundly deemed totally creepy. While Hello Barbie is still on the market, it was not the success that Mattel was hoping for. I'm not familiar with that. I don't know what the Hello Barbie is. In fact, Hello Barbie couldn't catch a break when she was named the worst toy of 2015 by the Campaign for Commercial-Free Childhood.
All right. I remember Hello Barbie. And this is my friend Kayla. Someone wants to know, why not just name it my creepy friend, Kayla.
Everyone has a creepy friend. Why doesn't some toy company capitalize on that? All right, so again, a quick warning, if you or your daughter or your granddaughter has the My Friend Kayla doll, be very, very careful. It's easy to hack into the system, and they could be watching you or talking to your children. We'll take a quick break, and then Steve will talk to you and your children next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks so much. This should be fun. I don't know if you remember this. A couple of weeks ago, I can't for the life of me remember why this came up, but we talked about how every once in a while an actor or an actress or somebody from some other line of work, sometimes a sports star or something, will decide that they are also a singer, that they're not just an actor, they're not just a shortstop, they're also a singer. Do you remember this?
Yes. No, I don't remember when you were talking about this.
The examples we used, I pulled out some of my favorite examples. The first one is Don Johnson, who we all know is Sonny Crockett from Miami Vice. And he did a song that actually did pretty well. It charted pretty well. See if you remember a little bit of this. This is Don Johnson. You know what it sounds like? Oh, here comes, well, here comes the part that I will recognize. You remember this, right?
I remembered it sounding much better than it does listening to it now.
Sounds
he was
a little dated.
He was so smoking hot, man, and he gave you the T-shirt and the jacket and the no socks that I don't even think I listened to his voice. I just think I was looking at him in the video because it's not really that good.
A couple days worth of stubble on him.
Oh, yeah.
A tan, nicely feathered hair.
Yeah.
The song sounds to me very much like the soundtrack of Miami Vice. It has like a Glenn Frey kind of a sound to it. So I'm not saying he stole it. I'm just saying that when they packaged this, they were very wise to keep him in his normal surroundings, you know?
It did sound like it fit on. Did he perform it on the show?
I don't know that song was ever on Miami Vice. I don't remember it ever being on Miami Vice, but it sounded like almost all the music that was played during Miami Vice.
I don't remember that song.
So, well, that charted. That was somewhere in the top 40s. Now, I'll give you a couple of other examples, and then we're going to go through some new ones that I think you'll enjoy, some that I don't think you've ever heard before. David Soul, who played Starsky. Ken Hutch.
He was Ken Hutchinson.
Don't give up on us, baby.
That's what Steve's message is.
Don't give up on us, baby.
Very memorable. Listen to this. Try not to cry when you hear this.
He has a better voice than Don Johnson.
It was in the era of long intros.
Right, right. They had plenty of time to fill back then.
Like an angel.
Yeah, similar to an angel. Which is hard to imagine because when he was Ken Hutchinson, he was so rough and tumble. There was no, like, if Ken Hutchinson would have just stopped and looked at Dave Starsky and said, "Hey, I'm working on a song. I want to sing it for you." That would have been a weird moment, right?
Now, was Bobby Sherman an actor or singer first? Because
I think he was a singer first. Okay. And then he became an actor. And many would say our greatest actor.
One of the greater actors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like
Jeff Bridges is up there, too.
Right? Right?
I guess he sang in Fabulous Baker Boys.
Yeah, he did.
Okay, I forget about
played
that.
Played the piano and sang.
But that didn't chart, did it?
I think Don't Give Up on Us Baby was in the top 40.
No, oh, I'm talking
Baker
Jeff.
Boys. No,
oh, no.
Yeah, okay.
No, I was just bringing that up. Bobby Sherman charted.
Yeah.
He did the Here Come the Brides.
Yep. Julie, do you love me?
Oh, I did, too. In second grade, A Girl Named Julie. Couldn't get enough of that song.
He was the original Say Anything, where he held up the boombox
right.
and played Julie, Julie, Julie right. for the second grader.
That's right.
It was on a jukebox.
Wasn't it heavy? All right, I remember that.
All right, that one was pretty well known. And then Patrick Swayze, the star of Roadhouse and Ghost, he had a hit with She's Like the Wind, which compared women to the wind. I know you know this. There's no way you could have escaped this song.
God, they all sound the same.
Long intros.
Yeah.
She's like the wind through my tree.
I don't remember.
She's like the
song.
Wind through my tree.
That's bad lyrics.
He's a big fan of Arbor Day. This was an Arbor Day song. Any tree celebration, they pull the song out. All right, so those are the three examples. Those are my three favorites because it's guys who were known for their acting who just said, you know what? Give me a microphone. I'm going to sing a little song, right? But there are others that you need to be aware of.
All right. I just thought there was a different Don Johnson song. What was the name of that one? Because I swear to you, I don't remember that.
I think that was called Heartbeat.
Oh, that
Kevin?
Was it?
Yeah, Heartbeat. Yeah.
Wow, I really didn't remember it. I just was looking at him.
Oh, yeah.
A lot to look at there.
All right. The great actor Danny Aiello from Do the Right Thing,
he
from
charted?
Once Upon a Time in America. He did not chart. Most of these that we're going to share with you, you'll be shocked to learn, did not make the top 40. So let's listen and enjoy the music of the great Danny Aiello. Let's listen.
Yeah. Check it out. We're going to try something new tonight.
That's not Danny Aiello.
If you know it, sing along.
Bésame.
Yeah.
Bésame mucho.
Sounds just like Danny Aiello singing.
Each time I cling to your kiss, I hear music divine.
I like this.
It's really good.
I really enjoy this.
But it sounds like him, doesn't
it? Yeah. That's no surprise there. Because they didn't try to, they didn't try to make him something he's not. Right? It fits him. It's good. It's Danny Aiello. Now, this one will be no surprise to you at all. This is a guy you and I have interviewed. Everyone in show business has worked with him at some point. This is Kevin Bacon, who, of course, plays with his brother in the Bacon Brothers. Here's Kevin Bacon.
Coming from Connecticut, 995, heading toward the sunset on the East River Drive, to the pretty little city on the Delaware. The Philadelphia chickens are sure to be there. All the Philadelphia chickens will be dancing tonight. Thousands of chickens in the pale moonlight. They can't sit still when the trumpets play. Strike up the band to get out of the way. Here come those.
Does this have a Squirrel Nut Zippers sound to you?
And Brian Setzer called
Brian
and wants
Setzer.
His whole gig back.
Yeah, very
like
Brian
he
Setzer.
Invented it, though.
It's been around for a while.
Yeah,
it has been around for a while, but again, that's pretty good.
It is. I like the
They're
Bacon
very
Brothers.
Good.
They really are.
They're great. All right, we have a bunch more of these. These are actors and actresses and sports stars and people from other walks of life who at some point said, let me give music a shot. If you have a call or a text, give us 312-981. Did I just say that out of sequence?
I don't,
if you want to
listening.
Give us a call or a text, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. A couple have occurred to me while we're doing this. Remember Bruce Willis called himself Bruno for a while? And I think he had a big hit, didn't he? Didn't Bruce Willis have some hit? other than the Seagram's Golden Wine Cooler song.
He did have sing a in the hit, commercial. I think.
Kevin, can you find that? See if that one's available. I'm sorry, I shouldn't do
from,
that.
From Bruno?
Yeah,
or from Bruce Willis.
From Bruce Willis.
I've but got
he
some...
He called himself, right when he would sing, wasn't he called Bruno?
I've got to respect yourself from Bruce Willis.
Let's hear that.
I don't think he had an original hit. I mean, I think he did covers.
Covers.
Oh, maybe this was... Yeah, this was his hit.
I've heard this before, but this wasn't... I think he had something that charted higher than
this
that.
This was a hit. It was a one-hit wonder in 1987. Peaked at number 14 on the Billboard 200 album chart, Bill.
That's not bad. That's a
it
nice
was
little...
kind of bad, though, when you listen
yeah.
to it now. It's just, again, you liked Bruce Willis, so then it's like, oh, he's got a tune out? Cool.
So this would have been him when he was doing Moonlighting. I don't even think he was a movie star yet.
No. The following year after this, he did the Die Hard
right.
movies.
And that's when he became movie Bruce Willis, when he was John McClane.
His follow-up singles, Young Blood and Under the Boardwalk, did not fare nearly as well.
But seriously, it's a really good version of Under the Boardwalk.
Everyone can do a great version of Under the Boardwalk.
I know.
He does it sort of face clenched. I
yes.
can see it. Yeah.
Yes.
Now, is Patrick Harris on your list?
Neil Patrick Harris?
No, Patrick Harris.
Who's that?
Who's Patrick Harris?
Patrick Harris, the Irish actor, the old guy.
Oh, Patrick Stewart.
No, Patrick Harris.
Who's Patrick Harris?
He was the first Dumbledore, right? And then he was... Isn't that Patrick Harris?
No.
He did MacArthur Park, sang MacArthur Park.
Ed Harris?
No.
Patrick Swayze? No, he did him.
Shoot, I'm blanking on his name.
Dumbledore.
No, he wasn't Dumbledore.
Well, maybe you're not thinking who
I am. Oh, he is Dumbledore. Right, yeah. Richard Harris.
Richard Harris.
Oh, well, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I called him Pat.
That's all right. His friends called him Pat,
Richard
in all
Harris.
Fairness.
Sorry.
That's all right.
He did MacArthur Park,
right? It was a big hit for him. Yeah, a giant hit for him.
I had a crush on a girl named MacArthur Park, and I played that for her.
I don't think that's possible. All right. This one, I'm almost embarrassed to play for you, but you need to hear it. I've heard it, so I have to share the misery with everybody. This is Scott Baio, one of our finest actors. Again, Scott Baio, who you all know as Chachi Arcola, trying to sing. Listen to this. You can see him bopping his head to this. Should I stop this?
One of the worst things I've ever heard in my life.
This is awful, isn't it?
Terrible.
Yeah. It's still cute.
It goes to show that it's not easy to sing well.
Right.
Is the hook right there? I was kind of
liking
it.
The hook of the song
it.
Or the hook to pull him off stage?
Isn't it going to kick in? Isn't there a chorus coming up here?
There's a chorus, but it does not kick in.
All right,
how do you talk to girls?
I don't remember this one, but I think it's cute.
You don't talk to them like memory. This, that's for sure.
Right. That will make them run screaming.
You think it's cute?
Well, because Chachi was adorable, you guys.
Yeah, but he just proved in a minute that he cannot sing.
He really can't, and this was before auto-tune.
But they had the ability. I mean, there have been other singers who have obviously not been able to.
Just with that, do you believe in love? That's my auto-tune.
They could have fixed that in the studio. They could have made that sound more.
Well, then why didn't they?
I don't know why they didn't. I have no idea why they didn't. All right, let's do, we have not done any women on the list yet. How about Tyra Banks? Tyra Banks, of course, we all know is a supermodel and talk show host.
And a hot temper.
And has a slightly hot temper, you're right. But how about her work, Shake Ya Body? Listen to this.
Play for
I don't remember this one. I don't remember this at all.
This was not a huge hit, but it was a hit.
It was?
Yeah. It says on my list here that she, Tyra Banks, spent $30,000 to create the music video for that song, Shake Your Body. Money well spent, Tyra, which was so poorly received that she never followed through with her plans to complete that into an entire album. We can understand.
Cut your losses at some point.
Right. She's a smart girl. She's a good, she's a very smart business sense. She decided, no, enough is enough of that.
Other than you, I think everybody in the world wants to sing a song and have a record out.
Yeah.
You have absolutely no desire.
No.
I've always wanted to be in a band. Always.
So what would you do? Would you, like on weekends, you guys would just play dates around the city? Yeah. And why hasn't that happened?
Maybe when the kids are older.
Yeah.
Right. Serious. Right. Steve, haven't you wanted to be in a band?
I once set my house on fire, melting when I was a kid. Not really set it on fire, but put like a yellow cup over an exposed light bulb.
For your microphone.
So I could have the cool rock and roll
mood lighting
while we sang, yeah.
Oh, nice.
And melted.
In grade school, myself and three others formed a band called Rainbow Rocks. And about the fifth rehearsal, it was made apparent to us that the fact that none of us could play a musical instrument or sing was going to hold us back. So we disbanded.
So what kind of instruments did you have?
We were trying to figure that out. We were trying to figure out how we could pull
so
that off.
So your first five rehearsals were just you guys talking about, what do you do? I don't know. What do you do?
We got, there was a magazine that used to put the lyrics to songs, like popular songs of the day. Like the whole magazine was, it was like 14 songs
yeah.
and the lyrics, right? So we would buy that magazine.
And do karaoke in your basement?
Not even karaoke, because we didn't have the records for the songs. We would just try to sing it, the
acapella?
Four of us. Yeah, like acapella. We thought that was our best move, but... No.
Could have been a barbershop quartet.
Right.
Or madrigals. They don't use music.
Right, but they have the ability to stay in tune and stuff, and we did not. So all the Rainbow Rocks, I know there's a lot of fans out there who say, are they coming back? It doesn't look like it. No. Nope.
Who are the fans? The two other guys in the band?
Not even that. Their moms, maybe? I don't know.
I will be in a band someday. That is my
goal.
Is that
true? Are you going to be in a band?
Someday.
All right.
When I have more time.
All right. We have more of these. And I know, please, if you're listening to this in your car or your home, you're saying to yourself, my ears hurt. Please stop doing this. Not yet. We have a couple more, and then we will stop. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thank you so much. It's Bill Effen, it's Wendy Snyder. Let me quickly catch you up. It's a conversation that we had on the show a couple of weeks ago, but we're finishing it up today. Every once in a while, you'll have somebody who is not a singer, not a performer. They're not in a band. Maybe they're an actor or an athlete or a newsmaker, and they say, I would like to give singing a try. Sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't. We're focusing more on the ones that did not work out, although some of these have been good. I still enjoy that Danny Aiello song. I thought he did a nice job. What about Kobe Bryant? Basketball great Kobe Bryant, one of the finest NBA players of all time. Can Kobe Bryant sing? You be the judge. What I live for? Basketball, beats and bras. From Italy to the U.S., yes, it's raw. I'm in search for the one that make my wealth feel poor. Who can ignore this spotlight life of grandma? Am I done for? Have I found the oar? Should I search for? There's plenty of women with sex appeal when it's filled. Can they complete the package? All I date is actresses. The play is safe for them. My money ain't bait, but I must take risks. This, of course, a remake of the old Bing Crosby hit.
Basketball.
Basketball.
It's not horrific. The lyrics are stupid, but
sure.
It just, you know.
But it's not, I mean, you've heard worse. It's not.
Scott Baio.
Scott Baio is worse than Kobe Bryant. Right. Right. I don't know that I would rush out if he was dropping a new CD. I don't know that I would miss work so I could be first in line, but there's been worse than that. Russell Crowe, an accomplished actor, Academy Award winning actor. He's been in Gladiator, Beautiful Mind, L.A. Confidential. Do you remember the name of his band?
The something and the something somethings.
Close. Isn't it called 30 Odd Foot of Grunt?
Oh, yeah.
Is that the name of his band?
He's not horrific.
No, he's got a pretty good singing voice. Here's Russell Crowe. Listen. This could be heavy. Not as easy as it seems. Quite tough to carry. A lot more inside.
that no one has seen. It's you lying there, and not one bit scared.
Kind of gentle, considering Russell Crowe is known for having something of a temper. When he sings, it soothes him somehow.
It's okay. It's not my style.
No,
it's but a little... are you going to go see it?
Probably
some
not.
Some people did, though, just because he's Russell Crowe.
If he would sing a song and then act out a scene from one of his movies and sing another song and another scene, then I'd go.
That's a great multimedia show.
Isn't it? Yeah. All right. So that's Russell Crowe. I don't want to give this guy an introduction because I don't feel I would be fair. So I'll just show you who it is. You can.
Everyone's going to guess.
It's Kevin Hart.
There, you said it.
Here's Kevin Hart trying to sing.
Yeah, it's the dark little big guy pushing no salt, no pepper, no fresh fries. I've been thinking about your body, but the inside, I ain't never hit it, but you know that ass been mine.
I think that's enough.
Kind of a little fast food
swears.
Song. Does he swear?
Mm-hmm.
He's a bad man, Kevin Hart.
Shut your mouth.
I'm talking about Kevin Hart.
I can't believe you are.
I know. I don't know. I guess his singing is just as great as his comedy and his acting. There, I said it.
That's his alter ego, Chocolate Droppa.
Oh, is that Chocolate Droppa?
Yeah.
Why don't you do Lemon Droppa? Come on, Bill.
Get to the droppa. All right, maybe I will. Maybe I'll take him on in the Battle of the Bands. Winner take all, Kevin Hart. One of us has to leave the country if they lose. Considered by many to be, if not one of the finest actors of all time, certainly in the top 1 million, David Hasselhoff, Wendy, who is not popular in the United States for his singing, but in Germany, look out. They love him in
they
Germany.
Do.
Yeah, they do. They do.
He sounds like someone.
Who does he sound like? Chocolate Droppa?
Like a Bobby Vinton-ish meets a Tom Jones. He's trying.
No, there is
something.
A voice, and I can't place
yeah,
it either.
I can't, but it's.
I'm hearing it in his voice.
Neil Diamond.
Yeah, kind of
Neil Diamond.
It's Neil
Diamond. He has stolen Neil Diamond's act.
Is he the Neil Diamond of Germany?
Possibly.
If Neil Diamond goes to Germany, will the German people yell at him and say, "You're stealing from Hasselhoff"? Get to the dropper. you're right. It is kind of a Neil Diamond-y presentation, isn't it? Is that a bad thing or a good thing?
No, it's not bad, but it's David Hasselhoff.
Right. All
homegrown,
right.
By the way. Went to LT High School.
Yeah, how about that?
He's on the Wall of Fame at my son's high school.
Well-deserved.
Yep.
Well-deserved. Paris Hilton, of course, an heiress to the Hilton Hotel Empire. And what else would she be known for? Was she a model for a little while? She was, right? Did she do commercials for perfumes and stuff? I think she did.
I thought she was just in that video.
Oh, maybe.
She modeled some dark eye makeup.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did.
She had raccoon eyes, if I remember.
Well, she put out an album in 2006 called Simply Paris. It spent 12 weeks on the Billboard charts, and it peaked at number 18.
Good was God, that the, what were we doing in that year?
That was the worst month for music ever, I think. Those 12 weeks were the worst 3 months of music ever. Her single, Stars Are Blind, went gold in 2009, but this is the first I'm hearing of it.
Gold?
I didn't know that. Gold, yeah. Gwen Stefani influence.
Totally, that's
so
why I like it.
So influenced by Gwen Stefani.
I'm so breathy.
Yeah, it's a breathier Gwen Stefani.
I'm breathy Paris.
Oh,
it's not bad.
It's not bad. I can't believe we're both admitting that. That's not terrible.
It
How
isn't.
Did we never hear that before? I've never
we were
heard
busy.
That.
Busy. What year was this?
This was in 2006.
We were
so
busy.
So 10 years ago. Wow. I actually didn't mind that.
We didn't listen to B96. That's why we didn't hear it.
Speak for yourself.
The Killer Bee. Eddie and Jobo were playing
I know.
It.
I know. Kevin, let's do Scarlett Johansson. Here's why. I think Scarlett Johansson has an amazing voice. Just her speaking voice, because it's real breathy. Do you remember the movie Her that she did with Joaquin Phoenix, where she was kind of like a Siri? Like, he fell in love with a girl that was didn't exist. She was just a voice on a computer. Well, she sang a song in that movie called The Moon Song. Is that the one you have, Kevin? All right, listen to this. I think this is really good.
I'm lying on the moon, my dear. I'll be there soon.
I changed my mind.
A little too breathy, but it's not bad. And this is a very popular style with the ukulele and the...
I've heard this song. I remember her doing it in the movie and liking it, but there's another version of it that somebody else does that's it's faster and like that's way too slow and breathy for me.
It's not bad.
It's not terrible. It's no Paris Hilton. It's no Stars Are Blind.
That was really good. I really enjoyed that.
That's terrible to say. All right, we have a couple more of these. These are songs that were performed by people who are known for other things other than their singing. We'll come back. We've got a couple more. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Do you recognize this voice?
No. Is it Yoko?
It's not Yoko Ono.
Is it Björk?
It's not Björk.
I can't tell because it's so saturated with effects.
Maybe for the better. It is Kim Kardashian.
Oh, God.
She can do anything she wants, Wendy. The world is her oyster.
I got nothing after that.
Let's listen to the musical stylings of, you know him as the NBA's worst free throw shooter, but I know him as Shaq Diesel was the name of his album in 1994. Listen to the music.
Well, we have to wait a minute, so we have to stall.
All right.
He's doing his Icy Patch commercials now, and he misses the spot where it hurts.
Yeah, well, it's going to hurt more when you hear him sing. Trust me when I tell you this.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Yep.
When did he have a singing career?
This was in the mid-90s, 1994. He put out... Remember, they made him into an actor for a while. He was in the movie Kazam, where he was a genie.
Oh, remember that? Yeah, he was a good genie.
He loved that movie.
He was a pretty good genie in Kazam.
He made it rain cheeseburgers.
Yeah. That was fake, though, genie. Kevin. You know that, right?
There you go. All right. I like that. Is that a piccolo?
Yeah. He also plays the piccolo.
Such a...
He got kicked out of a game once. They were playing the Portland Trailblazers, and he had a piccolo. Kicked him out.
Such a big guy playing such a tiny instrument.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. All right, it's just stupid.
How about that? The music of Shaquille O'Neal. Kevin, which one? Can we do Steven Seagal here? Is that all right? I think it's time for you to hear Steven Seagal. Now, Steven Seagal, with all due respect, can barely speak. So you say to yourself, how can he sing a song? Well, you're about to find out. This is Steven Seagal back in the late 1980s trying to perform. Listen.
This isn't him.
It's coming.
Yeah, I will to say that now I have everything.
And I want you to stay no matter what tomorrow brings.
That's not awful. I don't mind this at all.
It's hard to admit it.
He should just sing everything and he should just be in musicals from now on. I would like him much better.
Why wasn't he in La La Land? With Steven Seagal.
That was pretty great.
That, I am embarrassed to admit it. Now, I've heard him sing other songs that have not gone quite as well, but that was not bad. I again, apologies to Paris Hilton and to Steven Seagal. You surprised us. Shocking. Let's do... You mentioned a couple that aren't on this list that I kind of like. Can we do one or two of those?
Gary Sinise and the Captain Dan Band. A lot of
good
covers, but it's really rocking. He does a ton of stuff for the USO, yeah, and he's really, really entertaining.
Yeah, I think he's great.
Johnny Depp and who else is in there?
Oh, the Hollywood Vampires.
Yes. Joe Perry from Aerosmith.
Yeah.
And a couple other people are in there. So they're the Hollywood Vampires. Alice Cooper, that's right. That's the other big
name.
He's
a member in there, yeah.
And how could you forget Keanu Reeves and Dog Star?
Again, not terrible.
No.
Really not terrible at all.
Whoa.
Right. There's the liner notes.
It's just sampled.
All right. But we thought that it would be only fitting to close on...
Ethan Hawke has a solo career, too. Everybody's
Ethan Hawke is good.
That he sings pretty well.
He does sing really good. He really does. But we would be remiss if we not include William Shatner. Of course, you know him as James Tiberius Kirk. But boy, can he sing. Listen to this.
In a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies. Somebody calls you, you answer quite slowly. A girl with kaleidoscope eyes. Cellophane flowers of yellow and green towering over your head.
Oh no.
Look for the girl with a sun in her eyes. And she's gone! She's gone. She's gone. She's gone.
Love the reverb.
Yeah, that's what makes it.
You get yourself some good backup singers, and really anyone can sing.
Possible.
And it's Lieutenant Dan Band, sorry.
What did you say?
Captain.
Oh, you were off by a couple ranks.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Now, you know who I wanted so badly to play, and we went through the song catalog of this particular performer, and we cannot, because the songs are just laden with swear words, is Joe Pesci. Joe Pesci also does some
what
singing.
What am I, funny? Is that the name of his record?
Right. Yes.
Funny How, that's the name of
yeah,
it, actually.
Really? Joe Pesci sings, but for some reason, his rendition of every song he sings has a lot of four-letter words in it. As I think if you went to see Joe Pesci perform and it wasn't that way, you'd be disappointed, wouldn't you?
You would be. Now, we mentioned Bruce Willis and Danny Aiello, and yeah, we played a little bit Bruno and Aiello. And Joyce, you've been on hold forever. These two, you wanted to mention a little collaboration they had?
Yes, they did. I'm thinking back, and for the love of memory, I cannot remember the name of the movie, but Bruce Willis and Danny Aiello teamed up. They were the greatest thieves in the world, and they sang doing their timing for their thievery, and Bruce was the one with the wry humor.
Yeah.
Danny had the better voice. And he loved his Italian coffee machine that frothed up his coffee. And they would time their thefts to the music. And it took them all over the world, but a lot of the places were in Europe.
Was it Hudson Hawk?
Oh, Hudson Hawk.
Yes, yes.
Sarah Hudson Jessica Parker,
Hawk,
right?
Oh, it was awesome. And when you mentioned Bruce Willis and Danny Aiello, I said, oh, my God, that's old. But it was the greatest movie because you saw things that they stole that were originally from the masters, whether it was painting or jewels.
Here's a little of it, Joyce.
Be better off than you are. Oh, won't you rather be a mule? A mule is an animal with long, funny ears.
They're really good together.
They do sound good together.
They were. They were. And when you said that, I said, I got to tell them.
I think it's Andy McDowell is the girl. I said Sarah Jessica Parker, but she's in a different Bruce Willis movie. But Andy McDowell's in that, too. I'm almost positive.
Andy McDowell. Oh, yeah. It's wonderful how they got rid of her Texas draw.
Yeah.
Well, excellent. Thanks for sharing that.
Thank you so much, Joyce.
And guess what?
What?
Gary Sinise was my older son's school bus driver before he became famous. And he would bring him home from Jewish day school, and everybody loved him as a bus driver.
Gary Sinise was your child's bus driver.
Yeah, before he was famous. And there's a very famous restaurant in the suburbs, northwest suburbs of Chicago called Phonesis. That's the spokes.
Wow. Amazing. Well, thanks for the phone call, Joyce. We appreciate it. Have a great week.
Oh, thanks to you guys.
Well, you're welcome.
Let us know where you're going.
We're staying here. We're going to be here.
We'll still be on 10 to noon, and then we do the ham radio show from noon to 1, and that starts in 3 weeks.
I wish I had a ham radio, but maybe I could find my lost first cousin.
Okay, it's not really a ham radio. Do you listen to the radio on the computer at all?
No, I don't have a computer. All my phones are Android phones.
Oh.
Well, you can listen
listen in the morning, and right. I'm a big GM fan, and I've been following all the Chicago teams since I was 12.
Oh.
And God willing, I'll be 70 on June 6th, and found out I'm going to have my eyes back again.
Well, happy birthday in advance.
Thank you, love.
Thanks, Joyce.
Thank you, Joyce.
Every day you make ours.
Oh, you're so nice. Oh, thank you.
So sweet. Thank you, Joyce. Don't say the ham radio anymore.
I was told it was a ham radio. Is it not a ham radio?
We're going to be streaming at WGNplus.com. You can find it on the WGN app. We'll explain how to do it. I think next week we're going to have someone in.
Someone has to explain to us, and we'll explain to everybody else.
Right.
That
she's adorable. Frank Stallone is also in that movie.
Yeah.
And he had a hit,
Frank
too.
Frank Stallone did, yeah.
What
Sylvester's
was the name
brother.
Of it?
Take You Back.
Wow.
That was the name of Frank Stallone's hit. He sang it in Rocky.
Yeah. Boy, are you president of his fan club?
No, a treasurer.
Oh, there's an ad here. Darn it, I wanted to play a little of Frank Stallone for you because he was in Hudson Hawk.
Yeah, yeah. All right. A break, and then we'll find out what Roe and Anna have next. It's Bill and Wendy WGN.